Since this is technically a new year for you guys, and since your previous chairperson has rolled off, I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. For those that don't know me, my name is Keisha Redden. I am the city secretary for the city of Woodway. At one time in my 17-year life here, I was the staff liaison to this commission, so I do know some of you. But I'm up here now, and I'm going to do a couple things for you tonight as we get started. Make life a little easier, unless Miss Ashley Shoup just really wants to run this meeting. I didn't think she did. So first thing is we're going to administer the oaths of office. We have two new appointees and one reappointee. So we will get you sworn in before we do anything else. So you should have some paperwork in front of you. If you have not already signed your statement of officer form, please do so. Technically, I need that before I can swear you in. There's a contact information form. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire and make you fill it out really quickly. But if you can get it to our new staff liaison this evening before you leave, I'd really appreciate it. And then if I could have you stand, and we will take your oaths of office really quickly, and we'll get going. You as well, ma'am. You're getting sworn back in.
Okay.
Again, already? That was fast.
All right. Repeat after me. In the name and by the authority of the state of Texas.
In the name and by the authority of the state of Texas.
I state your name.
I, Lindsay Carl.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the duties.
That I will faithfully execute the duties
of the Office of Parks and Recreation Member.
Of the Office of Parks and Recreation Member.
Of the City of Woodway.
Of the City of Woodway.
Of the State of Texas.
Of the State of Texas.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the United States.
And of this state.
And of this state.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right. Great. Welcome.
Officially welcome aboard. You may have noticed Councilman Whitby isn't with us this evening, but we do have Councilman Kriegel filling in for him, taking care of anything you guys may need from them tonight. So I wanted to welcome him. Also, I'd like to have your new staff liaison from Community Services introduce herself briefly. She'll be working with you going forward.
Hello, everyone. My name is Maddie Stella Jimenez, and I am the new staff liaison.
Welcome.
She's handling things down in the Community Services and Development Department, doing some administrative work for them, so she's going to be awesome, and she will take good care of you guys. I think all the other folks you're probably pretty familiar with at this point. So the first thing we will do is we will elect your new chairperson. So I will open the floor for nominations for chair.
Jordan Killen.
Okay.
I second.
All right. All right, so we have a motion and a second for Jordan Hillen as the chairperson. And we will call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, then Jordan Hillen is the chairperson. I'll give y'all a minute to rearrange yourselves accordingly, and then I will turn over the election of the vice chair and the secretary to Mr. Hillen. And while he's doing that, once those positions are set, then we will proceed with the public comment section.
We do have this yellow folder here will be in front of you at every meeting.
Okay.
It contains the minutes that you'll need to sign once they're approved. It also contains a little cheat sheet for you.
Yep.
On leading things going forward.
Okay. All right, just begin. Is there a
go ahead with your go ahead with your vice chair and secretary positions.
I will consider recommendations on the nomination of a vice chair.
I nominate Ashley. Do you want that?
If Mills wants it,
Ashley. I second.
Okay, I have a second. Are there any comments?
I'll nominate Lindsay Carl.
I'll hear a second if applicable.
I second.
I will open up discussion between those two options. You can do eeny, meeny, miny, moe if necessary.
I don't mind. Ashley and I are friends. We've known each other, I don't know, 5 years.
I think she'd be great. I just feel like there's some meetings I can't be here, and I mean, granted, if you're here all the time, and so I don't know. I mean, I just feel like my life's kind of busy, but I don't care.
Okay.
I can be vice, whatever.
Okay.
Take a vote.
Okay, so your primary role as vice chair is going to be to run the meeting for Mr. Hillen, if for some reason he can't be here. So there's nothing really daunting about it unless you just do not want to lead the meeting in case he's not here. So if that helps at all.
I will take a motion to vote for one or the other.
I move that we vote for Ashley,
okay,
or however that works. Call for a vote.
I will acknowledge.
Did you say all in favor?
I think I need a second.
A second for, are we seconding the vote for Ashley?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I second that we vote for Ashley.
Okay, the request is for a vote on nominating Ashley Shoup as the vice chair of Parks and Rec. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the motion carries. Next, I'm gonna get the verbiage right on this. I will accept nominations for secretary for Parks and Rec Commission.
I nominate Mary Cunningham. Or I,
yeah. That's right.
Been doing this for so long.
That's right.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Oh, this is Mary, everybody, if you don't know.
I was secretary last year, so I
did a wonderful
job. Yep.
Oh, great work. All right. We'll call those comments, and all those in favor of nominating Mary for secretary again, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Nice have it. Okay. With that, we will close item number three. Apologies. All right. Public comment. The Parks and Recreation Commission invites citizens to address the commission on any matter, including items on the agenda. Citizen comments are limited to 3 minutes unless otherwise required by law. The commission is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item not listed on the agenda. So in that case, I will open up open comments for now. I actually see people in the room for the first time, and we still get no open comments. All right, since nobody has open comments, I will close the open comments portion. staff training, item number 5, training on rules of order and open meetings, code of ethics for elected and appointed officials, Parks Recreation Commission purpose and duties, existing city programs, and public procurement procedures. I believe I'd pass that over to Kasia.
That is me. And hello again. So again, I'm Kasia Redden. I'm the city secretary. Took over this position in February of this year. City Council has really laid forth a mandate to us as staff to make sure that the boards and commissions are really receiving the proper training, not just on the day-to-day operations of the minutes and of the agendas and things, but also on what your roles as boards and commission members are. We want you to be engaged, we want you to participate, and we want you to know what it is you're supposed to be doing up here, because we know it can be very frustrating when you don't. When I took over this position, it was also something that was really important to me, was to make sure that we were properly training. New city secretary, new goals, so to speak. I carry the primary responsibility for these boards and commissions. Your agendas, your meeting management, all of that kind of falls to me. So it's really my responsibility to make sure that you have the training that you need to do the job that you were appointed to do. And it's really important to me that you have that. So better boards and commissions training. It's also important to have better compliance with the Texas Public Meetings, Public Information Act, Open Meetings Act, the things that really govern these public meetings to make sure that we're doing everything we should be doing. So that's really a lot of what this training is about today. It's also really important to make sure that you know what your role is, what your purview is, what you have power over, what you don't. That way we're not frustrated and we're communicating properly so that we can make sure that everybody's kind of getting what they're after, so to speak. We want to keep you engaged. We also want to protect the boards and the staff and the city council against some of the unintended violations that can happen when you don't know what the rules are. We also want to protect the taxpayer investment in this process. You know, everything we do is through taxpayer money, so we want to make sure that we're respecting that. And one of the ways we do that is by this training. We also want to foster a good working relationship between the boards, the city council, and the staff. We are the three-legged stool that the city sits on. So we want to make sure that we're all cooperating and everybody's holding up their side. And the only way you can do that is by knowing what you're supposed to be doing. So again, I've been with the city for 17 years. I've served as a liaison to multiple boards here. I know that the most frustrating thing for advisory boards like this one is that it can sometimes feel like the process moves really slowly or that your ideas aren't necessarily getting heard. And I want to start by saying on behalf of staff that we really do hear you. We hear everything that you're saying. The municipal governance process, especially regarding public spending and things that boards like this are involved in, is just traditionally slow because it's governed by strict rules, both self-imposed and imposed by the state. And the reason that it's governed by those rules is because we are playing with taxpayer money. It's meant to protect us, it's meant to protect you, and it's meant to protect you as a taxpayer as well. So since everything that comes out of this board will somehow affect taxpayer money, whether it's installing a new playground or whether it's requesting staff members to stay and work at an event, we just have to be cautious how we do that. And so it's not that we're trying to move slow, it's that we have to move slow. But we will get there as long as we're communicating well. So that's, again, that's really what this is about. Your role here is incredibly important. Let's see if the clicker works today. Maybe. May have to have you click. There we go. All right. So what we're basically going to cover as quickly as I possibly can while still making sense and not losing my voice is going to be basic meeting processes, kind of what the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Texas Public Information Act mean to you. Our city's code of ethics that was adopted by city council and governs all of our elected and appointed officials, how that kind of plays into what you do. The purpose and purview of the Parks Board, the existing city-sponsored events and programmings that kind of tie into some of the things you're wanting to do already, and then what public purchasing and procurement rules look like and kind of how they affect you and what you're wanting to do going forward. So, obviously, we've elected a new chairperson. Mr. Hillen's role in this process is primarily going to be to maintain order. Not that this board really gets out of order in some ways, but it can be very easy to tangent and to veer off into other topics, things like that that happen. And as much as it's tempting to do that, there are rules that govern that, and it's kind of Mr. Hillen's job to keep us between the lines when we're discussing things. Obviously, respect and courtesy, we really want to try and stick to talking about one topic at a time. Minutes keeping, just keeping everything straight, it's kind of his purview to handle. Keeping the conversation from really becoming circular, you know, going around in circles and trying to talk about the same thing without really getting to a consensus. He'll kind of steer you in the right direction on that. It's also his role to make sure that both sides of the discussion are getting heard. Whether you're in the majority or the minority in here, you have a right to express your opinion. Even if you're going to get outvoted, you can still say whatever you need to say. It's his job to make sure that you get to say it. So he'll take care of that for you, I have no doubt. It's also his responsibility, and this is a serious one, is to make sure that what you're talking about is on the agenda. We'll get to the Open Meetings Act here in a minute, but that's really an important role that you're going to have, is making sure that what we're talking about is posted. Violations of that act can create problems. They create problems for the board. They create problems for the city. So making sure that we're on the posted agenda is going to be really important. And he will take care of that. I saw he had his Robert's Rules of Order books, so I know that he's studying. Your role as board members, pretty simple. You show up on time, you show up prepared to talk. This board doesn't have that problem, I know. The people on this board are passionate about what you're here for. So I know that when you're bringing things to the board, you're prepared to talk about them. And that's really, really a valuable thing. Read the agenda packet beforehand. Know what's in there. Know what you can talk about, what you can't. And if you need to clarify things before the meeting, if you have questions, if you want staff to come to the meeting with certain answers, go ahead and contact the city manager's office or contact your city council liaison before the meeting and let us know so that we can be prepared to answer those questions for you. That way you can have the full discussion that you need to be able to have. We are available here. We are ready to answer questions anytime we can. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. I've been in these meetings. I know that you can run them. We'll keep them going. Like I said, the main thing is just staying on the stuff that's on the agenda, which is not always the easiest thing to do. So many ideas. These are the basics of how to get through a motion. It's pretty standard. The chairperson's going to have a cheat sheet that'll help with this, but typically on your agenda, there are items that say that they are available for discussion. Those items, pretty simply, are available for discussion. They're not presentations, they're not reports, which are not really meant to be discussed by the board as a whole, but they are there for discussion. If an item says discussion and consider action, then those are the items where you're going to be taking some kind of a vote, more than likely. If there's not and consider action, then you're not voting on it. It's just a discussion item. So there's not gonna be a vote on that. So you're not necessarily going to take a vote on every item. To go a little further into that, I will say, as an advisory board, all of your discussion and consider action items are almost always going to be consider action on a recommendation. This board is not an executive board. You're not city council or something like that. You are an advisory board that is recommending action to either staff or city council, depending upon the situation. Your items will reflect that, so you know exactly who you're recommending to. But that's going to be your primary role. You're voting to recommend that the board that has the power to spend the money, to direct staff, whatever the case may be, you're making a recommendation. Doesn't always mean they're going to take your recommendation, but that's how you get from this room to the city council meeting and or this room to staff action in some way. Sometimes staff will put those items before you. They will bring an item to you and ask for direction. I know that Jimmy Rogers with the Family Center is pretty good about that. He'll put an item on here and say, hey, I need direction. I kind of want a consensus on where we want to go with this, things like that. And that will be your role. So as far as a motion, like I said, you're going to have a cheat sheet for that. But basically, he's going to ask for a motion. Usually we do a motion to discuss and a second just to open the discussion. There are debates about the appropriate Robert's Rules of Order for that, so you may read some conflicting information when you study. But typically, we prefer to do the motion and the second to discuss. You'll have your discussion, kind of come to a consensus. Someone will make a motion, make an affirmative motion for something. You're not voting, you're not making a motion to not do something. You're making a motion to do something. And then you will call for the vote. I also want to clarify, you don't have to take action on an action item. You can leave it without action. Somebody can make a motion that nobody seconds, and it can die right there, if not everybody agrees. It can stay right there. You can make a motion to postpone the discussion and the action to a future meeting. You are not tied strictly to passing or not passing something. So don't think that if you don't have all the information you want, You can postpone it pending further information. You can do that. You're welcome to do that. So I just want to make sure that you know that. And then you'll call for a vote. Make sure that you're clear about what you're voting for, please. When you make a motion, there's a temptation to just say, so moved, or something like that. Please state the motion out loud. We're recording these meetings for posterity. I get to keep them forever and ever more.
So we can't say what she said or what he said?
No. Please don't. And I know that your staff liaison, when she's doing her minutes, will appreciate you stating outright. But also, like I said, the whole thing is communication. We want to make sure that what you want is clearly communicated to the people it needs to get communicated to. So don't be afraid to say what you want. Say you move that and finish that sentence. That's the best way to handle it. All right. So public comment. You have a public comment session. It's very tempting for someone to get up here and ask questions or comment about ideas or any number of things that come up when the public wants to come talk to you. You cannot talk back. You can listen respectfully. You should listen respectfully, obviously. But you can't engage in discussion during public comment. They can come up and talk. You can take note of what they have. You can request that that item be added to a future agenda. That's fine. That's really the only acceptable action that can be taken. If you hear something that you really think needs further discussion, go ahead and say, hey, can we add that to a future agenda? Not a problem. Staff will be here. Staff can field questions. They won't field them during the meeting, but they can say, hey, let me contact you later on that, something like that. But you can't engage in back and forth comment with them. Public comment is strictly for them to talk to you. The same is going to go later on in the actual agenda items. If someone stands up, they do have the opportunity to stand up when a discussion item comes up and speak before you open your discussion. Again, you don't engage in back and forth conversation with them. The members of the public are welcome to talk to you, but they're not a part of the deliberations of this board. So whatever y'all discuss is between this group up here. Now, you can bring up their comment, you can bring up a concern during your discussion, but there can't be the back and forth from the gallery. I know that that's happened sometimes in the past, tempting to engage. It's problematic for our state rules to do it that way. So just try and stick with the thank you and proceed if you can. All right, the Open Meetings Act, we're kind of getting into the things that govern how I have to post and the things that govern what you can and can't talk about. And this one's really, really important. The things to know is that this is a state's legal mandate that we only discuss posted items on the agenda. This is where that comes from. I have to post meetings 3 business days prior to the meeting. That does not include the meeting date. It does not include the day I post it. So I have to have the information to go on that agenda well in advance. I know this meeting was a special meeting and we had a lot of stuff going on. I want to kind of give us a process by which we can streamline getting items on the agenda so that you know how to do that and when to do that, so we're not missing opportunities to talk about things you want to talk about. But the point is that per this, every single meeting has to be open to the public, which means that what goes on the agenda has to reflect what you're actually going to talk about, which is why we don't talk about items that are not posted on the agenda. Our city attorney will tell you that I post our agendas right out here, that anyone that's jogging by that's never been to Woodway before should be able to jog up, look at the agenda, and tell you what you're talking about. So that's how I have to post. And so if we get off topic, then we're in direct violation of this rule. That creates problems. Also, you should have received an email from me about a mandatory training course from the Attorney General's office. If you haven't done that yet, please do it. It's a video, you get a little certificate, you send it to me. In the past, only city council has been asked to do this, but technically the law says that all of our elected and appointed officials should be doing it. There's training for this and for the Public Information Act. And I'm going to mandate it for everybody because we're getting into an era of really involved, really active boards, and I want to make sure that we're not having any issues. So if you did not receive that email from me, or if you can't find it, or anything, just shoot me an email. I will get it to you, and then you just send me the certificates back super easy. Also, how to get items on the agenda. Like I said, I'd give you a little bit of a streamlined process here. Instead of everybody emailing me and asking, which it worked out this time fine, I think we got everything we wanted. I think there was one thing that came in after I posted, but other than that, I think we're good. But instead of doing that, given my preparation time, I typically require the staff members to send me their stuff 10 days prior to the meeting. For this board, as you normally meet on a Thursday, it's typically the Monday prior. That way I have time to clarify anything that you're trying to ask for. I have time to get with staff members so that they can prepare anything that you're asking for. And I have time to consult with the city attorney on making sure that we're properly posting for things. So I'm going to request from our staff liaison here 10 days prior to the meeting. The easiest way for you to make sure that you get on the agenda is either to contact your chairperson, to contact the city manager's office, or to contact your city council liaison and tell them there's something you'd like to have on the agenda. Typically, when Marcella is preparing her agenda, she's going to contact those three people and verify that there's nothing that they want to add to what's normally on the agenda. She's also going to take anything that you suggest during the meeting. And then once she's verified that that's everything, she will send it to me. That's really the quickest and easiest way is to contact one of those three people. We will get it on the agenda for you, provided I have it in plenty of time. That 10-day does give me a little bit of wiggle room. So if something just really crazy comes up and we need to squeeze it in there, as long as I can post, I post this agenda and have to mail it out because you guys are still on paper. I do it the Friday before. So as long as I have it the Thursday before, I can work with you. I understand things come up. I'll work with you as best I can. But try and get those things in as early as possible. And we will get those on your agenda so that you can talk about anything you need to talk about. All right. This is another one. The walking quorum. So this is a violation of the Open Meetings Act. And it's very tempting for, say, Lindsay Carl to come up with an idea and contact Nancy Goble about it, and then contact Ashley, and then contact Mary. And now we have a quorum that has happened behind the scenes, and you're in violation of the Open Meetings Act. It's also a violation if Lindsay calls Mary, and Mary calls Nancy, and Nancy calls Ashley. This little daisy chain that happens. Those are illegal quorums. They're violations of the Open Meetings Act. And although it can sometimes be really tempting to have these conversations and kind of come to a consensus and limit the discussion during the meeting, and we all want to, you know, get through things quickly, you can't do that. That deliberation is required by the state of Texas to happen in front of the public. So if you've got an idea and you and one other person are talking it over, fine. But when you start talking to a quorum, even by that daisy chain, know that you're in violation. Know that it has penalties. It has penalties for you. It has penalties for the city. So we don't want that. That also includes emails. It includes if you reply all to email and you create a quorum, please do not reply all. I try to do all of mine via blind copy so that you can't accidentally reply all. I know it's very easy to do that, but let's avoid that as much as we can. Yes, yes, yes.
My question is, what is a quorum? How many is a quorum?
So for this board, you have five is a quorum. Five people is a quorum. On this board, it's the majority. So you're one over majority.
So just giving a hypothetical, I could text Nancy and Ashley individually about the same thing, but that is not a quorum because I've only done texted two. But as soon as I start texting two more, that becomes five.
You're correct.
No, we should not do that. But I was just
and there's a whole other Public Information Act. I'll get into that in a minute. You can do that. Yes. Do not create quorums by daisy chains and all that. Yes. when we get to the public information, I'll cover that, but also be aware of the appearance that you are deliberating behind the scenes. Even if you're not creating a quorum, just be mindful that if you're deliberating behind the scenes, that can become problematic. So,
I have one more question.
Yes.
Can we have your contact information?
That was part of my question, is you said contact these people, mm-hmm. and so do I need to provide my...
You are not obligated to. Some chair people prefer that they contact you and you can kind of see what's going to be on the agenda. If you want to do that, that's fine. I am fine if they want to email the city manager's office or email the council liaison, because the council liaison has a city provided email for that purpose. That is fine if you prefer to do it that way. Yeah.
Well, are we allowed to ask him what, or
oh, yeah.
What would you prefer?
I'm open. I can provide my okay. email now if that's preferable.
If you don't want it on the record,
yeah,
so
that's what say.
You can give it, can you write it afterwards?
Yeah, if you want to give it to them afterwards, or if you want to email,
yeah, exactly.
or if you want to email me, okay. if you want to email me and I'll email it to the board and then it'll all be through.
And sorry, similar relation on the city manager. You've referenced a few times, contact the city manager, contact the city staff, like, which email is that, or who, or is that we contact?
Adam's email is on the website. I will include, if you'll send me your contact information, I will also include the rest of the contact information,
yeah.
and I'll send it to all of you at one time via blind copy so that we don't have a problem. But I will include all of that so you have it all in one place. That's not a problem. The reason we say city manager's office, and we'll get to that in a minute, is chain of command, trying to make sure that everything goes through the appropriate person so that we're not directing staff.
Like single shared city manager?
No. He has a specific email and he reads it every day and he will make sure it gets to where it needs to go.
Correct.
All right. So that Texas Public Information Act, and this is kind of bringing up what you and I were just discussing, it does apply to you. Part of the reason City Council has official city emails is because anything that you discuss that's city business, whether it's on your personal phone, via text message, your emails, all of that, it becomes official records. Records that I'm responsible for, records that I have to produce if I am asked for them. The device does not matter. It does not matter that it's your personal phone. It does not matter that it's your personal email. If you're discussing city business, and someone asked for that, you are to produce that. So when you're talking about the possibility of deliberating a little bit behind the scenes, that's why I say just, there's nothing wrong with not creating a quorum. Just be mindful that somebody can see it. Somebody could ask for it. So anything that you're saying, anything that you're discussing, just be mindful of that. Don't want anybody to have things that are asked for. And again, of course, that also comes with penalties from the state. But there's also that training that's required. So I sent them out together. Again, if you didn't get it, please let me know. I'd really like for all of our boards to take that training so that we can make sure that everybody knows what they are supposed to be doing and not doing. Okay, so this is an area where I think this board may get in the weeds a little bit on some of this stuff and kind of why we really encourage everything to kind of be pushed through city staff. If you are chatting independently with vendors or sponsors or trying to get bids or anything like that when you're planning things, we love that you're eager and you're wanting to do things. We don't want to discourage your involvement at all, but be aware that then you are creating records. You are potentially conflicting with the city's purchasing policy. There are state regulations about how we have to go about purchasing things. There are rules at every level about how we have to handle this stuff. That's why it's really the easiest thing for, and the best thing for you to do is to come through staff. Bring your ideas. If you meet a vendor or you meet a potential sponsor or you meet somebody that you think could really be presenting something that's amazing, ask for an agenda item. If you ask for an agenda item for somebody to come present this amazing playground equipment that you're super interested in, then you've brought it to a public meeting. You've gotten the consensus of the board on a recommendation to City Council. City Council can then ask staff to look further into it. They can ask us to get the bids we need. They can ask us to go through the purchasing policy. That's the best way to handle that. If you're looking at somebody that wants to sponsor something, we have sponsorship agreements that have been signed off on by our city attorney of all kinds. We love sponsors. We want sponsors. Have them contact city staff. Don't put yourselves in the position of the legal and procurement complications that come with you say something or you maybe think that you kind of know what the rules are. Put that back on us. Make us do what you're paying us to do, which is make sure that we're managing that money properly, make sure that we're getting things correctly. Just have it put on an agenda or have them contact city staff, and we will take care of it. We want to help you do those things, but we just want to make sure that they're done correctly. So, again, like I said, push it on us. Give us work to do. We're okay with that. We would rather us do it correctly and not have any problems than find out later that something wasn't done correctly, and then it negates all the hard work you did. And we don't want that. We want to push those things through. All right. Some of you that are involved in City Council may have seen when we swore the new council members in. Last year, we passed a code of ethics for elected and appointed officials. If you'd like a copy of it, if you haven't already seen one, I can send that out. That's not a problem. It's available in the City Council packets from that time. Basically, what it is it outlines just kind of basic rules of behavior I don't think anybody in this room is going to have any problem with. The one that is probably most important is that this is an advisory board. We've already kind of said a couple of times, as an advisory board, you are not specifically spending money. You're not specifically directing operations. You are making recommendations to City Council or making recommendations to staff, and then we will proceed through those official executive channels with those recommendations. So you can't really speak for the city. That kind of comes with the procurement thing that we talked about. You can't promise something to someone if somebody wants to come and have a disc golf tournament. You can't promise them the park. You can't, that kind of thing. Pretty simple. If you're representing a personal interest, you need to state that outright. You need to say that you're representing a personal interest when you're talking about something. But essentially, the things to remember are, again, you're making recommendations. And really, we want to go through the city manager's office when you're trying to get with staff about things. If you go through the city manager's office, he's going to make sure that the appropriate staff person is aware of what your question is or aware of what your concern is, whether it's something's wrong at one of the parks or whether it's a question that you need answered. He will funnel that to the appropriate department and we'll get that answered for you. And this isn't just you. This is also City Council. City Council does not direct staff. As a council manager form of government, we answer to Adam. Adam answers to council. So that's kind of how that works. Yes, ma'am.
If somebody puts in a bid, are we required to look at all the bids? If somebody puts in a bid and there's three other people there putting in a bid, let's say, to put in a lawn or something around here. Are all three of or four of the people that put in bids, are they all contacted and given an opportunity, or do we have the right to just say, we're just going to look at these two?
So what's going to happen with the board, and again, this is where the staff handles the purchasing part of it. If we're to the point of doing bids on something, you've already seen the project. You've probably already voted on the project and said this is what you want to do. Then what will happen is, depending on how much the project costs, we will either get quotes from various companies, however many we can get to answer sometimes. We get at least three, typically. Or we will have to proceed to sealed bids, and we will have to post public notice, and we will have to bring them in, and they will have to turn in sealed bids for us. And then we will either have a lowest bidder procedure, or we will have an evaluation procedure that's legally done through attorneys that says that we can take someone other than the lowest bidder. There's pretty strict requirements about that. But by the time we get to that point, you guys have already seen and approved the project. Then what'll happen is, once we've gotten the person we're going to use, we have to get that okayed by City Council, even if they budgeted it. If they budgeted $100,000 for a new playground and we get a bid at $75,000, that's the lowest bid, we can't just go out right then and purchase it, even with the budgeted money. We have to take it back to City Council again. So again, that's leaning on us to handle the purchasing part of it. Makes your life so much easier, I promise. Okay, so now we're kind of into what your actual purview is as this board. Again, I've probably said the word advisory 50 million times and you're tired of hearing it by now. But we have designated parks and recreation facilities. Obviously, you know, you guys know what the four parks are at this point. You know the Woodway Family Center. Those areas are the areas where you're looking at improvements. You're looking at potential projects, ideas that you have, things that you might want to see implemented, recommendations that you want to make to City Council and to staff. Those are the areas that you're going to be focused on. The Parks Board does not actually have purview over the Arboretum. I did notice on the budget that there were some items. Just to be aware, that's not technically a city park. It is an events facility. It also at one time had an entirely separate board that was set up by City Council. That board is no longer active, primarily because everything day-to-day is run by city staff. There is a subcommittee on City Council, so if something big comes up, if there's something that staff really needs to sit down with City Council on and kind of plan out, like when they did the remodel of the Arboretum, then we have that subcommittee. That's not to say that if you have an idea for the Arboretum that you as a citizen should not make that suggestion. You have the same rights as any other citizen. So if you see something at the Arboretum you really want to suggest, by all means, reach out. We are not stifling you as a citizen, but as a board, you specifically are not going to be doing things for that. Again, I won't say that A word again, but you're not an executive or decision-making authority. You're a recommending authority. So there are very limited things that will come before this board that you will just outright vote on. Most of what you're voting on is recommendations. So just be aware of that. Be aware that there are more hoops to jump through than just you, but that we will get it up the chain if it's on your agenda. Okay, so here's how you can handle things. And this special meeting is a fantastic example of how it should work. You've asked for things specifically to be on this agenda that you can talk about. Things like structural upgrades to the park, things that you want to do at the family center, potential budget requests, programming ideas, all of those things. You've asked for them to be on the agenda, and they're on your agenda. And now you can talk about them, you can brainstorm, you can ask questions, you can figure out what you want to do, and then you can make recommendations. That's really the way that this should work going forward, is you request it to be on the agenda and we will get it there. We're in budget season, obviously, but we're nearing the end of the first kind of preparation of budget. So we're working to get anything you guys want in there. I know that some money was already budgeted, but I know we've added some things since then. So that will be part of your topics tonight. But you need to do things through agenda items and formal votes. Things need to be a consensus of this board. It's not up to any one member to dictate on behalf of the Parks Board is basically the thing to remember. If the Parks Board recommends, it's because the Parks Board voted, and we can point to a vote of the Parks Board. So we don't have any concerns over that. Some things to be aware of just based on what I saw on the budget, just a heads up for you. There's more than just us to deal with, and sometimes that can be a little bit of a pain. I know one of the things that was on your recommended list was potentially a pier at Lakeside Park. And as you can see, and as you've probably already been told repeatedly, that's Army Corps of Engineer property. I can tell you that in my 17 years, the idea of a pier has been visited and revisited and visited again with the Army Corps of Engineers, as a matter of fact. City staff is required to submit to them a plan for the things that we want to do at that park. They come out and they inspect every single year. This particular year, we had a temporary floating dock for our rowing people, and it was not on the plan from last time, and the guy pointed and said, what is that and why is it there? It needs to go away. So we had to submit a revised plan. So one thing to know, and I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do or what to ask for or not ask for. I'm simply telling you, they really don't like us asking to put permanent structures at that park. We had to fight a little bit of a battle just to get the bathrooms, and they're not even hard set, like cement block bathrooms, really. We had to fight a battle. And when it comes to putting stuff on the water, they really don't like that. It's leased property. We don't own that property. We lease it. And so just awareness when you're planning and what you put your time and energy into. If you get with staff ahead of time and you kind of say, how would this float? We're happy to answer those questions, at least to give you something to build on when you go forward, so you can decide what you want to devote your time and energy to. But that's one thing to be aware of, is there are outside regulatory authorities on some of these things that we have to deal with. And what they say goes. The other one that came up, I noticed was on there, was about connecting the Arboretum trails and the activity park trails. The other thing to be aware of there is those properties don't physically abut one another. So if you're going to connect those trails, there's a process by which we would have to do that, and it includes getting easements from all the property owners, from all the people that you would have to go through their property to connect the two. Obviously not a simple process, obviously not a simple vote for this commission to say, hey, we want to do this. There would be a lot involved, something to be aware of. Part of the reason that we do have that hike and bike lane that goes in that direction is because it was far easier to go on our street and do a hike and bike lane to connect those than it was to ask a bunch of people if they would devote some of their property to let strangers walk through it. but again, if that's something you want to pursue, I told Councilman Kriegel at one point, the Parks Board, when I first started here, was aiming to create hiking trails that connected us all the way to the Cotton Belt Trail. So it's not unheard of to ask that question. Just be aware. just be aware that there are hoops to jump through again, and it will require a lot of coordination with staff and a lot of coordination with the public. So just keep that in mind as you're going forward. I've got a list here, and I won't list them all, but just be aware that we have a ton of existing events. Programs from Discover Woodway and the Arboretum, programs at the Family Center. There are events, there are programs, there are a million things out there right now that we have that have opportunities for you to get involved as a board. So don't think that your only job is to come up with new ideas. We want you involved in the ideas we already have, especially if the ideas that you're coming up with overlap with something we're already doing. I saw a disc golf tournament proposed. There's been several of those this year. We also did our first ever family field day. We're not opposed to expanding things that we're already doing, and it also benefits you because if we already have staff committed and we already have funding committed and we're already doing things, it's probably a little easier to grow things we're already doing than it is to reinvent and do something entirely new. It gives us an opportunity to expand and include you, but it also gives you a leg up on what you're trying to get involved in. So don't be afraid to reach out about some of these events and say, hey, how can the Park Board get involved in that? ArboFest.
We kind of talked about this because there's a lot of events that do happen that I miss because I think it's only advertised on like social media or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe there's some emails that come through, but you know, you should see my inbox. I do have like these emails that come from here for the meetings like highlighted. So like, is there any way to have like a special like to, you know, this board like, hey, this is what's happening. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that that's absolutely doable. I think we can do that, especially as you're a board that doesn't meet every single month, mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a monthly update on what's going on. I think it's totally doable for staff to send you kind of a rundown of what's coming up in the next few months, mm-hmm. So that you know what's going on. We do advertise on social media. We do put it on Constant Contact. There's a lot of different things out there, and my email inbox probably looks like yours, so I completely understand where you're coming from. But yeah, I think a specific parks email that gives you an idea of some of the things that are coming up and invites you to get involved in some of the things I think you could probably get involved in. If you wanted to have a tent next year when we do our Row Fest, and you wanted to, you know, we want your involvement in the stuff we're already doing. We don't want you just to have to come up with stuff on your own. There's a lot of opportunities out there. I won't list everything tonight, but I will send out a comprehensive list of kind of everything we're doing so you have it for future discussions. Yes, sir?
Question. So we have some events on the agenda that we uh-huh. talked about. I think the inspiration for those was to kind of get this board more involved with the community. And I agree, there's a lot of things happening already. One issue that was brought up, like at ArboFest, if this board wanted to be president of ArboFest, what problems does that create for the Public Information Act, the Open Meetings Act? Do we have to post an agenda?
So what will typically happen and what I do usually for City Council, because City Council typically attends ArboFest, I have to do a public posting for that. Essentially, the goal is you're not discussing any city business. You're not going to do anything voting-wise or anything like that. So I post something to the public that says, hey, all the members of the park board are going to be at ArboFest from this time to this time, and they're not discussing any city business. And then you're welcome to come out there. We can talk about, you know, staff can talk with you about having a tent and, you know, involving. Youth Commission does ArboFest every year. So obviously we want you to come out. If you have ideas about what you'd like to do in a booth, for instance, Youth Commission always does like the little temporary tattoo things for the kids or something. So if this board wanted to come up with something to do at one of those events, I know the Family Center recently had a senior expo that they do, to let the seniors know kind of what we have. A lot of the city departments have booths at that senior expo. The park board is welcome to be a part of those things and talk to the seniors about, you know, what they want. Hey, you know, here's what our parks look like. Here's what we're trying to do, things like that. But all it requires is me just to stick something up on the board that says you're going to be there.
If a citizen comes through, like let's say we had a table at ArboFest and it was posted and followed all those rules, and a citizen comes by and says, I want to give you some feedback on the parks. That, since that's not a meeting setting, it's not recorded, is there anything we have to do to record that comment?
No. They can give you some feedback. Your response to them is really what dictates kind of the discussion of city business. But you can say, let me have staff call you on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And that won't cause you any problem. Yes. Yeah, that's no problem at all. We understand that a certain amount of, you know, nobody's going to see three council members standing at ArboFest and not show up and maybe want to talk a little city business. So that's kind of, we kind of understand. But yeah, as long as you're not having a full-on discussion and you're directing them back to staff or, hey, come to our public comment session at our meeting or something of that regard, then you're fine. That won't create a problem. All right. And again, I'll send out a comprehensive list of all this so that at one of your future meetings, you can kind of talk about, hey, maybe we could get involved in some of this. I know that you're aware there's a lot of programs going on, not just at the Family Center, but also I know Mahjong is a big thing. I'm told that Mahjong is a big thing. I do want everybody to be aware, yes, beginner Mahjong charges because she's giving lessons, but there's an open play Mahjong at the Arboretum that does not cost any money. So that's something to be aware of. I know that Jimmy and the Woodway Family Center staff is also working really, really hard to plan and implement and work on programming for 18 and up programming that will be rolling out as he's able to build the staff and make the changes that need to happen there. So we'll make sure that that's included in your email update, and we will...
We do not oversee the Arboretum. That's its like own
entity. We don't oversee the Arboretum, but you as a citizen are welcome to attend, and we'll make sure that you're aware of all the stuff that's going on. Okay. And you're also welcome to participate in, you know, if they're having an event that warrants your participation, you know, that's something you can participate in, we want you to participate in that. You know, just because you don't necessarily have oversight does not mean we don't want to see your bright, shining faces there.
Following up on Matt's comment, is there a distinction between the Farmers Market and ArboFest?
Yes.
We did try to get on the agenda for a table this year at a Farmers Market, and we're told that's a no-no, so I just want to make sure I understood the difference.
Yes, the Farmers Markets are monthly. They're typically pretty small. They're in really high demand, so it's really hard to get tables, and they're mostly kind of geared towards the vendors and such. The ArboFest is kind of the big blowout. It includes a Farmers Market, but it's kind of our opportunity to really show off the Arboretum in the spring. We include the other boards. Like I said, Youth Commission participates. It's kind of a bigger blown up farmer's market with music and food and all that. Okay. Event hosting and staff support, the other thing to be aware of when you're planning events is the importance of coordinating with the city manager or the community services and development department. As much as we want to absolutely do everything you want us to do, we have limited staff, limited funding, and sometimes things conflict. I know the Blue Bonnet Stomp is something that was brought up as part of the agenda. We're going to work on an area for that, if that's something this board wants to pursue. And I think that it's actually a part of a presentation that's coming up that you'll hear from in just a minute. But just be aware that sometimes those ideas conflict. Several years ago, one of the hot topics was the Blue Bonnets that were in the middle of the field at Whitehall. And it created a lot of issues, and City Council directed us to mow those because that space was just not usable during that time. You know, kids out there tromping through. And we had snakes and things of that nature, and so those were mowed down. So if we go back out there and start doing a Blue Bonnet Stomp in that particular area, it might create problems. But that doesn't mean we can't do one. Again, coordination is the key. Coordination is the key. Also, when you're proposing, keep in mind, we want you to volunteer, but you can't commit staff. We have to pay staff. So when you're coordinating, make sure that you're working with staff. Make sure that you're not committing a space without talking to staff about whether that space is already committed to something else. Just kind of the basics is just check in. It's all about communication. Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry.
No, you are fine. Questions.
So if we want to host something on, like, city property, like, say at the Woodway Family Center, would we need to budget to use the Woodway Family Center as Parks and Rec to, like, rent it out?
As a city board, the city's not going to charge itself because it would be the board paying for it. So we're not going to charge ourselves per se, but be aware that that time,
sure,
you know, it if it conflicts or it takes away from rental time, or if there's already something planned for that time that you're not aware of, things of that nature. Like I said, it all comes down to communicating. We need to communicate with you, and you communicate with us, and we'll be fine. We'll make it all work. I'll briefly go over this one because I think I've said it repeatedly at this point, but you don't have a separate budget. You are under the parks budget that comes out of community services and development. They will put stuff in the budget for you. If you're voting on things and you're wanting to request things, they can request things for you. But you can't obligate taxpayer money. Now, once that money is budgeted and it's budgeted for your use specifically, on a smaller scale, you can say, you know, we've budgeted money for t-shirts. We want to get t-shirts. And you can make that request. And if that money is budgeted for you, that's a reasonable thing, and we can handle that. But in terms when we're starting to get into bigger things like contracts, things where we need to get quotes, things like that, that's on staff to handle. So you're going to make a recommendation, and staff will take care of that for you. Your goal is to identify the needs and make recommendations about how the money gets spent. Our job as city staff is to execute that spending once City Council tells us it's okay. So just be mindful of that. So what you'll be doing here tonight, in part, is asking for us to budget money for you. And then we'll go through the same purchasing processes as anything else would. Like I said, we've kind of gone over this, but by majority vote is what you'll want to do. When you put an agenda item on about spending, you'll come to a consensus majority vote, ask that that be budgeted, you'll ask that it be recommended, whatever the case may be, and we'll go through that process of procurement. If we need to do sealed bids, whatever the case we may need to do. So essentially what it comes down to is you guys have a bigger impact than you probably realize that you do. But we still have to operate within the guidelines, Open Meetings Act, Public Information Act, the ethical guidelines. And as long as we're communicating with each other and we're respecting that sometimes it takes a little longer than maybe we would like, and that we really do want to help you do everything that you want to do, but that sometimes, you know, we have to take it a little slower, and we want you involved in the things we're already doing. All you have to do is let us know you want to be involved in them. We've had a lot of great city council members come off of this board right here, so it's obviously a great board. So we want you to be as involved as possible. And that's finally, I think, it for me, now that I've taken up all your time. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And if you have any that come up, feel free to reach out to me. You can always reach out to me. I think all of you have my email. If you don't, it's on the website. And I am here to answer any questions that you may have going forward.
All right. Thank you. And I know from making slides or whatever, that took a lot of time. So thank you for all the time and intentionality you made to make sure that we are the most informed board that we could possibly be.
Absolutely.
And I just had one from way back in the beginning, but I was too scared to ask because I wasn't sure if we were doing questions at that time. For the Roberts Rules, so I'm the chairman. However, based on some of the budget discussion we may have, I may request amendments. I may request motions. What's the process from that level?
For requesting an amendment to the proposal?
Yeah. Or a motion in general.
It's essentially the same as anything else. You're calling for a motion. If you want someone, or if something comes up during the discussion where the motion needs to be amended, that just needs to be stated. I move that we amend, you know, this recommendation to include XYZ or to remove XYZ. Just make sure that by the time you reach the point of voting, that what you're voting on is very clearly stated. I move that we amend the recommended budget to remove the pier or something of that nature, and make sure that it's clearly stated, and then take the vote. Yeah.
But I, as chairman, am still allowed to make initial motions, or do I require others to do
so? You can. Many don't. You are allowed to make a motion if you're not getting a motion, or if you're wanting to just kind of move the discussion along. You can make the motion. You're leading the meeting, but you're still one vote. So as the chairperson, you don't have any more power than anybody else. It's not really a conflict for you to make a motion. Most usually will wait for somebody else to do it.
I agree. Mine just might be specific based on some of the discussions we've had.
Yes, completely understand.
I also wanted to say, too, you were talking about when people come up to make public comment, we can't engage with them, but also sometimes there's, in one meeting, we had people asking questions and making comments from the chairs. It was a highly debated meeting. At that point, if we can't get someone to, you know, stop making comments or whatever, does he have the authority to ask them to leave?
He has the authority to tell them respectfully that they cannot comment on a particular matter, or that the board cannot engage with them. Mm-hmm. Asking someone to leave an open meeting if they are not physically causing an issue or pretty consistently and continuously disrupting the process. I don't know if any of you have watched some of the city council meetings in the past. You kind of got to do a lot to get kicked out because it's really a matter of constitutional right.
Constant reminder, you have to constantly remind them.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And most people, I think, in this setting are going to be, you know, a gentle reminder that respectfully, we can't engage with you. We'll do the trick. A lot of people just don't know the rules, so they don't realize that they can't. Understanding that we have a public comment session, understanding that prior to any discussion item, you can call for anyone that wants to speak on an item. So if you know someone showing up to speak about something in particular, before you open the discussion with the board, they can stand up and do their 3 minutes. Kind of informing them that usually will take care of it. But yeah, it's not on you. It's really on him to respectfully say that. And then if you just have to outright ignore them, if you've got somebody that just outright will not stop, you know. But like I said, the city attorney, we've dealt with similar things during city council meetings with disruption. And it really takes a lot to be able to remove someone from a meeting because constitutional right and free speech. Yeah, you just kind of have to not engage and ignore them a little bit. Yeah. Anything else? All right, then I will turn it back over to Mr. Hill.
Thank you. And thank you for your 17 years. That's a long time to be working for the city.
All right, any further action on item number 5? Then we will move on to item number 6, discussion and consider action on the minutes of the regular meeting held May 28th, 2026.
I make a motion that we you have to say something first.
To discuss.
Yeah, I make a motion to discuss and consider action on the minutes of the regular meeting held May 28th, 2026.
I second that motion.
All right.
I have one comment, a correction, actually. Are we ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. It says I was absent. I was not absent at the last meeting. If the minutes could be corrected, I was quieter than you.
You were here.
And then I actually caught one as well, or maybe it's just a typo, but for the actual fall seed stomp, did we settle on a final date? I see it references rain dates, but I thought we had a date that we said we'll do this date. Otherwise, it'll be these rain days, but I did not have that written in my notes.
It seems like I remembered September the 12th as the regular day. That's a Saturday. But I don't have it written down. So does anybody else remember what date we were talking about?
I do know that those are the rain dates because one of them has to do with being a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday weekend.
Where's Kristen when we need her? She probably knew that.
Was October 3rd the rate? I think we did want to do it in September.
I recall multiple dates were discussed. I don't actually remember that we settled on one final date.
My recollection is we settled on a date and had rain dates and that, you know, city staff was going to double check their stuff. I thought we actually put a date so that it could be confirmed. But just reading the sentence, it looks like there should have been a date, comma,
right,
including rain dates of October 31st.
Could we go back and listen to a recording?
That was... I guess I will hear a recommendation to correct Mary Cunningham as being shown as present and for myself and or somebody to identify the date from the previous recordings.
I make a motion that we modify that Miss Mary Cunningham was present at our last meeting and that the date that was approved for the fall seat stomp event is added to the minutes.
So does that mean you're going to go back and listen to it, or are you?
I know.
Who's going to do that?
Who's going to do that?
Likely our council liaison. So yeah. She's going to be doing today's minutes, so likely she'll go back.
Staff liaison.
So she can go back and listen.
So you'll go back and listen
correct.
To the minutes. Okay.
And she would be the one that would correct that for minutes anyway. That makes the most sense.
She's present.
Okay. It was a relatively short meeting.
Perfect. Yeah. It was pretty short.
Okay. I think I had a motion to make those corrections. Do I have a second?
A second that we make those corrections.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Moving on to item number 7.
Sorry, guys.
Motion carries. Item number 7, discussion and consider action on recommendation regarding partnership with Valor Preparatory Academy for upgrades at Whitehall Park. So I believe we need initial discussion prior to us opening up for our discussion.
I make a motion to discuss and consider action on a recommendation regarding the partnership between Valor Preparatory Academy for upgrades at Whitehall Park.
I second your motion.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It's really cool to watch y'all work.
Learn the ins and outs of public government.
It's really an honor. And so my name is Michael Foy. I'm the assistant athletic director at Valor. We have Emmeline Black, who's our executive assistant also at Valor, and Matt Moore, a Valor parent and a member of our finance committee at Valor. And so just, again, thank you guys for being here and hearing us out. So we would like to explore community partnership opportunity with Whitehall. If you have not seen us yet, we're right down the road, down Bosque, and it's our new home, and looking for field space in the area that want to create just a good community partnership with y'all as well. So our request, I don't know what happened with that part, but is that the Parks Department recommends to the council to authorize staff to evaluate and explore a partnership agreement. So I don't want to get too much into the weeds today, but more so asking for just a recommendation. Want to create a shared vision amongst Valor and Woodway, with that be a turf field, year-round usability, youth sports access. Definitely want to retain public ownership with City of Woodway, but then also the opportunity of hosting tournaments, events that could be prevented by, you know, rainfall or anything else by installing a turf field at Whitehall. So Matt, I know that you wanted to discuss some of this.
Yeah. Thanks. And by the way, I'm a City of Woodway resident, so thanks again for your service. Appreciate that, and thanks for the time to speak with you today. So the reason why we're proposing this is we've seen other communities within the state of Texas and, you know, nearby. I've listed, you know, four of those there that have gone down that route. And if you're not familiar with any of these facilities, it's I think Abilene's a great example. It's a, you know, smaller community, not one of the bigger cities. And what they saw was people were leaving their community and going elsewhere to for athletic events. And so they really saw that as an opportunity to, hey, let's bring people back and then actually be a hub to bring people in. So it was a way to bring back people to their city. And then in Keller, their city park and sports complex, that was an opportunity for them to upgrade their existing facilities by partnering with private investment as well, of like basically bringing something better to the public. And so in the city park one, that one, they actually were able to bring in a company that bring jobs to their community. So there's all sorts of different reasons why this has worked in other communities. We think the City of Woodway and the assets that you guys have, especially with Whitehall Park and us being in the community, as well as a lot of our students in the community, students and families that are members of our community, it makes a lot of sense for that. You wanna go ahead and go to the next one? So really what you see from private capital and in public ownership is really access expanded and better facilities than what you would have without it. So it's a way to move things along a little faster, as well as preserve the capital of the city to not have to make as much investment as needed. Next slide. So, with the partnership and with agreement, we would have, you know, we'd still have to go through like our board and whatever that final agreement is, but we would, you know, consider up to an investment of $500,000 is something that we would consider with upgrades to the facility. With that, all we're really asking is prioritization with scheduling so that we can use that facility. And we don't want this to be a short-term partnership. I mean, we are planning this when we move from our existing location to our new location. Like, that's our new home. We have plenty of space to expand within our school, and so we don't expect to move anytime in the near future, and so we really want this to be a long-term agreement. And then I think the thing that's important to you as a commission, as well as from a member of the city, is that it will be continued to be owned by the city, and public asset access to it will continue to be there. So.
Some of those positive benefits that we could foresee is just obviously the improved park asset, tournament opportunities, expanded youth programs, which I know that is something that we continue want to offer to our City of Woodway residents. And then year-round playability, I know it can get very difficult in the state of Texas. Installation of a turf field can supplement that. Still want the park to remain Whitehall Park. This is not us trying to come in and completely take over the space. We really want to protect a lot of what Woodway still is, and especially at Whitehall Park. And so, again, lots of benefits to that. We just want to enhance that for Whitehall. Obviously, there's some considerations to consider, scheduling demands, emergency action plan, and so forth. Those are all things that we would want to make sure that we're all on the same page with. Again, today is not to get into the weeds of that. Today is just instead to ask for a recommendation to explore that partnership. Obviously, we'll have mitigation strategies that we'll need to implement. whether that be stuff to have good neighborhood respect, environmental preservation, and obviously community communication and access. Still want to keep that intact. We do not want to take over Whitehall and become another space for Valor. Like Matt was saying, we're very comfortable where we're at. We want to grow where we're at, but want to be able to enhance Whitehall for multiple uses and purposes. Public access will continue to remain protected. Obviously, that's something that will be discussed by boards and everything else in the future. Up next, just want to offer that forward as a recommendation. Man, I don't know what happened here. We respectfully ask the parks just to recommend that City Council authorize staff to explore and negotiate a potential partnership agreement for future consideration. So, again, not to get into the weeds too much, but thank you guys so much for hearing us out. We greatly appreciate it.
I'll now open it up for comments.
So they're adjacent to Whitehall Park and they want to...
No, they're in the shopping center right here.
What?
They're right off Bosky, so if you just go out and go down Bosky, they're right on the corner of Highway 6 and Bosky.
So they took over this whole shopping center where the craft gallery was.
Oh, okay.
So, but there's just no athletic fields.
Z-back?
No.
I just want to say thank you. First of all, you sat through an hour of city training. You can now be on our boards and commissions if you're a Woodway resident next year. And also want to say we're so excited that y'all are coming in right down here, bringing traffic to the city of Woodway.
I'm going to ask questions. Go ahead.
We moved a couple years ago, but my backyard was Whitehall Park. We had a gate into Whitehall Park. So for 7 years, we could open our back gate at any moment and be literally in the park. And so my only slight reservation, which again, we're not getting into the weeds today, is parking and traffic, because there's very limited parking. And so if we're talking about bringing a tournament, even during football practices on the weekends, people would park all the way down Santa Fe and then go down Delhi and be parking in front of our backyard. We actually have a really good friend that goes to Valor, the Moors, and they would park in our driveway to walk through our backyard. And so just want to be cognizant of those houses and how, moving forward, do we create more opportunities of parking if we're hosting tournaments or things like that. But I think a field turf is a fantastic idea. If anybody's ever gone to Slow Rise, you know that it does not matter if it is 200 degrees outside. There, oops, I did not mean to throw a pin at you. There are going to be people outside because they want to use a turf. And it's just, it's less muddy. It is year-round. And I do think that it would benefit our city to have a partnership with you guys. And I appreciate that you're not asking the city to pay for everything as well.
I have a question. You mentioned, are you talking like a full-size football field would not be there? This is just an area, or what, like how much of that grassy area are you thinking you would like to turf, or the whole thing? What were y'all thinking?
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm, are we allowed to engage?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh yeah.
So it would be a full-size 11-man football field.
Okay. 11-man football field.
Yes, ma'am.
And okay. That would be where? Where is that on the park?
I would leave that to planners and everyone else. Within feasibility, I think we had discussed between myself and our athletic director, Stephen Bird, when we had walked it out. It's within capabilities to run it horizontal to that parking lot that's already there.
From the back of the fences to the park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this gives you an idea, like we just use AI to kind of come up with this view. I think the field would actually be a little bit bigger. But that's essentially like the existing parking lot, the existing playground structure within the existing grass spaces there.
Yes.
Okay.
And are you thinking about hosting like Friday night football lights games there?
Yeah.
So are you wanting bleachers? Sorry, lots of questions.
Sure.
Yeah, I told you nothing we but we have questions, but like bleachers, all the things.
I would want to refrain from exact specifications, probably. I would want that to be more so discussed amongst our board, our head of school,
also on scheduling, you said, you know, scheduling priority. What is like a typical like time frame you would, besides Friday night, like after school, before school, during school, like what, yeah, could we?
You know, personally, from going off of past practices and everything else, I would say early to mid-afternoon would be some of those times during the school week. Morning use, I'm sure that would be something that we would draw up within the contract, but early to mid-afternoon is what I would say for practices. That answer your question?
For the most part, I think. Because that really, that says upgrades at White Hall, but that's really not an upgrade. That's a whole different design and everything, which is fine.
Which is an upgrade? I mean, how much typically would you say, if you knew a number off the top of your head, is a turf football field?
My football coach is not here right now, so I don't know.
I would think that's over 500,000, but I don't know. Could be wrong.
And I do think that this is like a good opportunity for city council then to like have these deep conversations,
yeah.
Right? We're just making a recommendation.
I think we're recommending the concept of it, and there's several things up there that, you know, I have concerns about, like parking, restrooms, et cetera, and I think that's maybe a down the road discussion.
Sure.
We recommend, is this a concept we want to pursue? And then later on the council may say, well, this is a no-go because of this issue or that issue. The only, I guess my biggest question about the whole concept is it would bring more traffic to that neighborhood, which is a pretty quiet neighborhood. This may be a question for the council too. How does that neighborhood feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be up to if we make a recommendation, that's going to be up to the staff to find all that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
All we're going to do is, do we like the idea of that, for our community? I think it's a good idea.
And with it being public use, obviously y'all have priority. Anybody could go there at any time as long as y'all don't have that priority schedule.
I would leave that to within whatever was detailed within the contract,
yeah.
Whether that be genuine.
Which I do think would be a really good use for that grass space, because I know that soccer goes, I know we've had soccer practices out there. I know like flag football, I mean, I don't know, again, like when you're out there, like when it's raining and muddy, you can't use that space. And so having a turf area would definitely be able to utilize that space a lot more, as long as it's not encroaching on the track that goes around it. And people can still come and play at the park anytime. So
I think too, just, and again, we're just like the beginning stages,
mm-hmm.
right? And it goes to city council. Really respecting those houses, because that walking trail and those trees are like essentially their backyards. So a Friday night football game, I mean, they're going to hear it. My dog would bark if anybody walked on that trail. We could hear it. And so just respecting those homeowners right there, and making sure that I would hope that city council would always consider Woodway Family Center, for, like if they have like need to use that area. I don't know.
We've been in discussion about this they brought this idea several months back. Mm-hmm. We currently rent our fields for their practices, so we already are hosting them here at this site. There's a lot of benefit to the family center, same benefits that everybody would enjoy, but our soccer and flag football programs would also have that playability after bad weather out here. If it rains, we have to postpone and reschedule.
Sure.
And that would allow us to play within, as long as there's no lightning, within 20 minutes of a shower ending, and keep us on schedule. So there's benefits for us as well at the Family Center. It's the same that y'all are discussing up there for the community at large. Yeah.
Does the recommendation to explore, does it still come back around to where we could actually recommend the implementation of it, or is this the once we get to recommend or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, good question.
Kind of up to the city council about what they
if we recommend it, then it goes to city and then city.
Are we just recommending to explore or are we actually recommending anything?
No, their question is a recommendation to look into it.
And would it come back to us once it's detailed as to what the it looks
know.
Like?
The city council approved it.
Agenda says a recommendation regarding the partnership.
Yeah, my assumption is it would not come back to us. We were recommending for it to go up to city staff and council. They would hash out the details and decide whether it was viable or not, or how it would look. And
unless there was something substantially different.
Unless they decided.
And I bet they would look into all the scheduling, talk to the neighbor, sure. The houses, and look into all of the details.
And I'll go ahead and defer to our city council liaison on this one. If I'm reading this correctly, and maybe I'm not as well, is this is a recommendation to city council to recommend to city staff to explore what this would actually look like. Yeah.
Yes, that's my understanding, correct? Yeah. Yeah, so we would. So it wouldn't necessarily come back to y'all.
So if city staff went through all this, they took it back up to city council. City council, based on the information, could say yes, no, or city council can say kick it back to the parks board. Now that we have information, but there is a risk, I believe.
Can this be interpreted as, is somebody from the city staff going to tell the city council this was recommended by the parks to proceed with?
Yeah, that's my concern as well.
And I would basically just
I think it just depends on how we word the recommendation or how we word the motion, if we want to make a motion on exactly how we word that, right?
Yeah, because I believe I have the same.
Can we request that it comes back once the details are finalized?
They won't do that.
No.
You don't think we can?
I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think once it goes to the city council, they're the ones that are going to make a determination whether it's worth the time.
Well, so could we write our recommendation as we recommend exploring the
possibility
and. And also, could we ask them to
the feasibility,
or you know, I don't know how to write this into words, but ask the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Make consideration of the neighbors.
Sure. Yeah.
I know we have another new member.
Do you have any
I agree. I think the parking is a big concern, but again, and how it affects the neighborhood. But I don't know how you without. Doing
understand.
A study and like going door to door, find out how that would affect them. But
I think my biggest concern is not getting into the weeds, but it just leaves a lot of things unknown.
Yeah.
I think if we have reservations, if we're kind of approving the concept, is this in general a good or bad idea? And I think it's up to staff and council to work out the details and maybe decide it is a bad idea. But like if the parking, if the noise, if we think that's just an insurmountable challenge, we could not recommend.
The Ballard people can come up with a more specific little area rather than just a recommendation, because just a recommendation doesn't take all of that into consideration.
And I think that that's... We're kind of giving them the opportunity to kind of have that conversation with council.
So
kind of
if we
those.
Made the motion to recommend to move forward and explore the partnership, would you then get into a little bit more detail on this presentation that you would present to city council?
To my knowledge, that would go directly to the city council.
Okay, yeah. Like a lot more information as far as scheduling,
yes,
and some of the questions that we asked and
yes.
Like that, like we can't talk with you guys on like, hey, what this
yes.
could look
mm-hmm.
like. So it's kind of
yeah.
That's where it's kind of you know on. Like I hear what you're saying. I'm like, hey, yeah, we had that exactly
sure,
what
yeah.
that would look like, but we sure can't talk to city staff until
yeah.
And I'm a little new to this, so maybe forgive me. Is there a way to say, look, we recommend exploring this? Clearly, you can put in the clear language, we're not recommending the project, we're recommending the exploration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
That's the whole bit.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
The
last point. So.
Yeah.
And I would be fine making a motion to recommend exploring
yeah.
that, exploring
mm-hmm.
this, as long as the due diligence is done by the city council to do all the exploring.
Is that your recommendation?
Or the city council.
That's my...
Is that your motion?
That's my motion. So your motion is to evaluate and explore a partnership agreement with Fowler?
Yeah. I make a motion.
I second your motion.
Perfect.
Okay.
We're kind of in the first line of screening that, and in the past we actually have, where some proposals to us were so idiotic that we voted them down here and they didn't go any further. But in general, if something could possibly be feasible and we see some good in it, why wouldn't we say?
Yeah.
I think maybe with wording, I don't know how stuff gets worded, is in terms of, hey, the Parks and Rec voted for this, they approve of it, or does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of understood that that's what we're doing, is we're just...
But there wasn't a vote on anything other than just recommending.
And just to add to that, part of my role is to be able to explain that way if and when it does come up.
You'll be able to communicate to them.
You can explain
to some extent. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
All that should be in the minutes is that Parks and Rec the motion is to evaluate and explore a partnership agreement. We didn't say yes or no. We just said yes to evaluating and exploring.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we voted for.
Yes. Okay.
To pass on.
While we're in that discussion, I did kind of high level to your point. There's kind of two views. There's one, which is what we'll call first principles, high level. Does this make sense? Versus then, what are we going to specifically ask for? Playing a little bit of devil's advocate, just saying, let's potentially slap a turf, field here. Go ahead after 10 minutes feels a little strong to me, and obviously. A vote's a vote. But I would likely want to hear from city staff, and maybe they, if they've had discussions with Valor further, maybe at our next meeting we can postpone this particular line item, get a little more detail on city staff's understanding prior to that recommendation.
I think that they're waiting for us to give a recommendation for them to proceed with investigating it, though. We're the first stop.
So, for example, Jimmy, was that as much as you have could have?
Clearly,
We don't have an opportunity to discuss this again until after. I mean, it's going to go from here to city council.
Yeah.
Liaisons, who's been in this position so long.
Yes, all of a month.
Once we have a finalized, they have the approval of y'all, could you just bring it back to Parks and Rec and let us consider it or look at it?
Adam will know better than I do.
Mr. Hill.
I think I know most everybody else. If you don't, my name is Adam Nyland. I'm the city manager. Yeah, staff, we'll be happy to explore whatever recommendation, even if it's very broad or very vague. Obviously, it's on the surface, it sounds pretty simple. Let's put a turf field A or B or X. There's obviously a lot of moving parts in that. There's some legal implications. There's some public notices that are going to happen. So it'll be a lot of discussion, probably over, I doubt something like that would, well, it could go on one council meeting, but usually what staff, we try to answer all the questions that we think we might be asked. And 9 out of 10, there's always a handful that we haven't fully covered or fully fleshed out. So we're happy to explore it, but a lot of the times what we think may work, there may be something the city attorney recommends we adjust, or there may be something the council doesn't like about it. So, and maybe 50 people may show up and say, don't you dare do that.
Yeah.
We just never know until it happens, but we're happy to do all of the prep work. We've worked with Valor in the past and they've been a great partner. So at the staff level, we don't have any concerns about exploring that for you.
So could we, right,
like we said, say this motion, because what I'm hearing is like maybe people want to explore it, but then maybe we don't want to give our like stamp of approval just yet. Could it come back to us at all, or no? Once we say explore it, that's it.
If you want to make that in the recommendation in your motion, we'd be happy to bring. I'd say normally it wouldn't do that, just because of the way that
the
system works. But in the past, I think I've even presented to parks before on things that have gone to parks, gone to council, then they come back to parks again. So not to say it doesn't happen. If it's something really big like this and it's going to involve a significant capital outlay, then it could, just to make sure that it's in the spirit of what was originally recommended. But I think with what I think the direction you're headed is staff, take a look at this and see how many moving parts are going to affect it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, is that a recommendation to City Council to direct staff, or is that is not a recommendation from us to direct staff, correct?
It would go to council, but we're going to do the work on the back end anyways, just to make sure we don't bring something to council that can't work or can't function. So after tonight, staff will be getting to work on it if that's the recommendation.
So should the motion be modified and say, like, the motion to, what were those exact wordings?
Ashley, you motioned to explore a partnership you recommended that city staff explore the partnership with Valor. Mm-hmm. And I think you're wanting to add a clause that would say, the city staff explore the partnership with Valor with an opportunity for
to revisit it.
The Parks Board to revisit the proposal at a future date.
Yes.
I second that.
Any discussion on the amendment? All right. I'll ask for the votes to amend the initial motion to add an addendum to say that the approve with the, and maybe you can help me out on that, Matt.
Yes, sir. So just because I don't, we don't want to go down a road and then it like, hey, we didn't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Is the like legal determination, like the way, because I thought my understanding was like you guys approve it in the council, like then we work, like you work with them.
City manager, I feel like you're the one that like can.
Yeah, no, I think we're fine, and I haven't been just sitting there trying to withhold my comments, but I'm trying to be respectful of the process. And in the past, we've had folks jump up and give their insight when the board doesn't call on them. So I'm trying to be respectful of your positions.
I appreciate it. I just want to ensure that we have I'm calling for votes to amend the motion to add a clause to the original motion. Forgive me, I'm new at all this as well.
I think we just want to answer his question. I think we just want to know, typically what we were trying to say is it goes to the city council and then we don't ever see it again. We just kind of want to see what the final plan is. And then I think,
City council can accept. If they choose, they can reject if they choose.
And they don't have to send it back to us, from what I understand. We're just making a recommendation.
Well, yeah. I think the motion, as we've said it, is we want it to come back to us. So is that... are we going to require that as a board, that it come back to us? Are we trying to require that?
I think we can recommend it as an advisory board.
I think the reason why we're wanting to add that is because we're not saying, oh, yes, for sure, put the turf field in. We're just simply saying that because we haven't gotten into the weeds. So we just don't know any of the,
advisory board, so I guess when it would go before city council and then it would come back. If it were to come back, the final decision would still be upon city council.
We
are just advisories. We do not get to make any of those big time decisions.
I don't think it'll go to the city council and then come back to us. The city council would make the decision. The staff's reporting is the only thing that I think would be coming back to us if we request it, because mm-hmm. then we can make a recommendation to the city council. But I don't think once we've said, yes, you guys go take a look at that, that it's going to come back to us.
Mm-hmm. I think that we have like a general concept, right? But we don't know those nitty-gritty. And then you'll figure that out with city staff and with city council. But then city council might say, we're putting in a 5A football field. We agree with this concession stands. And like, then we're over here with Parks and Rec. We're saying, we never approved that. Like, what are we doing, right? And so I just don't think we want to stamp our approval.
We don't have to approve anything. Maybe here's a question. Would the city council want advice on the final product? Would they want us to advise on the final product? I would assume the city council would want us to advise on a finalized product, which we can't do at this point. So maybe it goes, we can recommend the city staff explore it. They can report back. We can give our real advice, advise whether or not we think the details would work. And then that's a real opinion to the city council on whether or not we advise yes or no.
We can always request it if they don't want to do it. That's
correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what we've done.
So we currently stand at a vote to add an addendum to recommend to city staff to come back to us prior to a final, you know, thing with the city council, prior to a final presentation of the city council. So we are at a vote for the addendum. So all those in favor say aye.
Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those in favor say no.
I am going to vote no. I know I'm going to be outvoted, but the principal of the city council and the huge staff that will go into finalizing contracts and legal opinions is going to be huge, and there is no way
the motion carries. So now we are going to, if there is any further discussion on the addended?
Sounds
good. Amended. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So that will be discussion and consider action on recommendation regarding partnership with Valor Preparatory Academy for upgrades at Whitehall Park, with a request that city staff provide an update to the Parks Department after further plans are finalized, so that Parks may add additional advisor recommendations to city council, if city council so chooses.
And a paragraph.
So we're done with them. They can go.
All those.
If you want.
Oh my gosh, 2 hours later. I'm so sorry.
They may want to hang out. I mean.
So we voted to amend the question. I've just restated the question. We now have to vote on the question.
I think amending the question was voting on the amended version, wasn't it?
At least what I've read so far, that is was a vote on an amendment. We are now required to vote on the amended question. So is there any further discussion on voting on the amended question? All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Only because this is what I thought I was voting for last
time. And I'll say no as well. So the ayes have it. The motion carries.
Yes.
Oh, no.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. I do love the idea of a turf field, though.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 8, discussion and consider action on the proposed seed stomp event at Whitehall Park. I will hear a motion to discuss.
I make a motion to discuss.
I second that motion.
Well, we need to know what the dates are.
Yep.
So that's our next thing is we have to find out what the dates are before we can go any further.
And that's why we actually had the special meeting tonight, was to get in ahead of whatever that date was to plan the event.
Well, that and the budget.
Yeah. So was it, it was...
I think it must have been September.
October 3rd and 10th were the rain ones. So then it, yes, it must have been in September. And it was one that was like...
No Baylor football game.
Yeah.
Does anybody, I do not get internet reception in this building. Yeah. I'm going to add that to my budget list. I'm just kidding. It's not under Park and Recs.
Are you asking for
so
this?
So the rain days were what days? October the...
Yeah, Baylor home football game.
Third or the 10th? Those are Saturdays.
So I may recommend we table the date because we'll figure that out. Is there any further discussion for the event?
The 12th is a home game, by the way. So.
But what about the September 26th?
Also a home game.
It says TBD. Oh.
Yeah, time's TBD.
Oh.
That's a home game.
Did I hear that there was going to be a conversation? Did Keisha mention that there was going to be an idea of where this would actually occur at the park?
Yes, she did mention that.
Briefly touched it in his presentation.
Oh, I missed it so much. Where would it be? Do you mind me asking? It's about the seed stomping event.
So maybe it was September
5th. He barely touched it.
Yeah, because the Monday after the 10th on that rain day is.
Does anybody know if I'm allowed to miss that?
So the environmental preservation, bluebonnet restoration.
I can leave my phone on the court. I'm just kidding.
It says bluebonnet restoration. So do you know where at Whitehall they're wanting to do this?
No, and the only thing, and I don't know anymore to share it, other than I don't believe they want to get into the engineering, the location, and all the logistic requirements without having some level of commitment from the city, because that costs money to get into. They did express that they would be willing to help participate in that.
Here's my other random question, because I know the bluebonnet has I did not know that was new information that the city council asked the city to mow over that area. That was new information today. But would it be more beneficial to do the seed stomping event maybe at Lakeside in those more remote areas where they don't get trampled? Or is there a specific reason why we're sticking to Whitehall, especially maybe knowing that in the
Finn? But I do know with the disc golf there, I mean, at the Lakeside, right?
I was thinking of the first one. What's the first park?
Activity Park, yeah.
Not the one where you...
That's the first one. Yeah, it's Activity
it's
Park.
It's super long and thin.
Yeah, Activity Park, Lakeside. It's the one on the lake.
But would that be more advantageous to do it there where it might not?
There's still traffic there. There's a little playground. But, I mean, I don't care where it goes.
So based on the discussions we heard today, it sounds like city staff has already thought about this. So it may be relevant to ask them to come present that. And that way we're not talking logistics and specifics about an event.
So maybe we could just say bluebonnet seed stomping event and then ask the city, could we ask
where would be the best place?
Where would be the best place? Mm-hmm. Where do they think is the best place?
And that may be part of kind of how I understood at least the presentation is that this is his job every day. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say there will not be a football field out there in September or October.
Yeah. And we had even talked about a small area that would be roped off that would, you know, it's not like the whole field, I think, right? And so wherever that may be.
But I think the issue is we can't defer because we don't
speak up, Mary. I can hear you.
We don't meet here during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So September would actually be the first time I think we get back together as a group here.
Understood.
And that's why then we had the special meeting tonight, I thought.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is that correct?
Do we need to do it in October, though? Because September 26th is a Baylor home football game. And if it's at 11 a.m., we won't have any attendance.
I don't know about bluebonnets and when they're best to be stopped.
I
thought we determined September or October. That was within the window.
That's the window.
So the beginning of October shouldn't be an issue.
Well, I could October 3rd or the 10th. We've got those as rain dates. Could those just be the real dates?
Yeah.
October 3rd is the real date. October 10th is the rain date.
Yes. So we need a motion.
Let's motion.
I move that we set the date of the Bluebonnet Stomp for October the 3rd with a rain date of October the 10th.
And in a TBD location.
Location to be determined.
Yeah. I second that.
Any discussion?
I don't know if it matters, but October 10th is a bye week for football.
Oh, so. I remember talking about that.
Yeah.
And third is away game?
Third is an away game.
So that would work out perfectly if we have to rain. Yeah, to rain.
I believe it might have been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
all
great.
Those in favor?
Good call.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, moving on to, I believe we are on item number 9, discussion and consider action on recommendation to City Council regarding Woodway Family Center programming for adults 18 plus. I'll call for a motion.
I'll make a motion. Do you discuss?
I second.
Okay.
All right. I'm assuming this is Jimmy.
Actually, it was me that
requested it. Jimmy, did you say you wanted to talk about it at all, or do you want me just to start it?
This is your discussion.
Okay, this is my discussion.
I'm here to learn.
So this has kind of been a conversation that I've had openly with Jimmy for the last couple of years, even from the beginning of the opening of the Family Center. During the day, it's only restricted to adults 55 and up, and 53 and under in our community. There are some activities, like a couple of things, but the predominant use is for seniors 55 and up. And with it being a city facility for all community members, and with it having the identified name as a family center, not a senior center, I was hoping to have the conversation of opening up even more activities to 18 and up. For those individuals in our community that want to access the Family Center activities that are already there, for example, my neighbor, I have two neighbors, one is 75, one is 88. They go every day to the Woodway Family Center, and they've invited me to come along, but I'm not of age, and so I can't go with them. And to them, it just does not make sense why I can't go with them.
Are you actually prevented from going because you're not 55?
That's a good question. Only once, and I was, because I was not of age. And just want to respect that boundary, right? And, respect that is for those older, or is currently been identified to be 55 and up. And so I would like to just recommend to City Council to consider what that would look like, opening up activities that are not full or, for example, not necessarily physical fitness, like chair yoga. I would love to play Mahjong. I think we talked about this at the last City Council meeting, but because I'm not 55 and up, I have to pay $30 to go play at or to learn at the Arboretum. And I just, when I was looking at the city calendar for senior activities, I think I counted 85 activities that were offered for only citizens 55 and up that are not offered for 54 and under. And being a very much a committed taxpayer, would like the opportunity to be it more open to all taxpayers in our community, especially considering that it has not been identified as a senior center but is identified as a family center.
Do we know why the reason originally was to only allow 55 and up in the day? Like who, why?
I remember part of the decision came from the limited, like the room, I'm assuming it's that small room that they use for Mahjong. Help me, Jimmy.
Correct, our party room.
It's just that room?
And there is not enough room now in the mornings for the people who want to be in there. So you would be knocking seniors out of there. The only dedicated spots they have.
But they have all day, right? I feel like our seniors have all day every day to access the family center. And there's not any designated time for 18 to 53 period. Well, I guess open gym.
Correct. Yeah, there's select times open gym. The calendar has several opportunities for 18-54, but it is limited. Lindsay is correct in that the vast majority of the programming, 8 to 3, is geared to 55 and up. To answer the question, that was directed by council back in 2024 to have senior programming from 8 to 3. When I did that presentation, I made a presentation that suggested 65 and up. There was vigorous discussion amongst council and directed me to lower it to 55, 8 to 3. So there's a lot of great merits to this conversation, but there are a lot of things to consider and what to open up. Even something as simple as Mahjong, as I've learned, as I've gotten into the understanding of the senior population, even an activity like Mahjong, there are pros and cons to allowing a larger age audience in there. It's not just sports. When I play basketball, I don't want to play with a 20-something. I don't want to get beat that badly. The same exists even in card games, because a lot of the seniors may have cognitive issues and don't play at the same speed. And so therefore there are some issues. You could put a 30-something in there with a 65, 70-year-old that isn't on their game as they used to be. The 70-year-old doesn't want to get whooped either.
There was a lot that went into that decision, and that's why it passed.
And that's why I've been hesitant to go beyond what council directed. 2 months ago, council did direct me to increase programming for adult programming 18-54. That is coming. It's not fast, and I do think there's a lot of pros and cons and unintended consequences from just taking the ages off of several classes.
Great.
That would create not just conflict inside the classroom with the different age ranges, because even the physical activity classes, the senior community isn't always there for just exercise. There's a social aspect. It's the only contact they have with somebody outside their home. Mm-hmm. So they also want to congregate with like-minded, like-age people. So there's that to consider. But there's also evidence to say there's benefits from interacting with other age groups, mm-hmm. and different, you know, especially the younger kids and older people, it's benefits. So there's a lot to consider. I do recommend we do it organically and not just pull an age off of it, because we will push out. Mary is correct. It already has happened.
Yeah.
There are 55-year-olds going in there and pushing out older people.
And I think my hope with this conversation was, right, we're an advisory board, we're not the decision makers. So Jimmy is the expert on this, and he and I have had many conversations about this, but as for to give the advice to, let's consider what would that look like to council and to Jimmy to then make that decision. And so that's why I wanted to bring forth that conversation, because I do think it's important that we include all tax base in our community and not just exclude them.
Are some of those things able to be senior only within the facility, but other parts of the facility are opened up? Or is it pretty much the facility is dedicated to seniors?
I was directed by council 8 to 3.
Okay.
And then
do we have, I guess when y'all look at that kind of stuff, are you looking at other cities this size and it's kind of standard operating procedure for things to exist, and this is kind of normal if you get outside our bubble, like this is what other community centers look like?
It's extremely abnormal to have a family center in town this size, to have a facility like this. So we're lucky and blessed to have it.
And this one does not have a dedicated senior center, so this is all they have.
But I mean, there are plenty of towns in Texas this size. If they have a community center, are they taking 7 hours to exclude, you know, is that pretty standard, or is this kind of a special circumstance that Woodway, within the
really
fighting era of the city council, started kind of putting restrictions on stuff to appease certain groups?
I don't really think that that's a standard for cities. I think it all has to do with population and what the age group is in the different little communities. You know, I am not for changing it because as a 70-year-old, I, like Jimmy said, I don't want to have to play against or be against the younger generation by 40 years.
Right. Well, maybe you could teach me something and I could teach you something.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, but that's entertaining. That's you know, just, more recreational.
And
that's
it takes the whole facility, though. You need the whole facility.
Well, the facility is not all that great. It's not that huge.
Yeah.
I just feel like also very divisive in our community. It doesn't feel very community-oriented. When
are we getting complaints about it other than, I mean, I know you have your friends, but are you getting a lot of complaints about that?
That's a tough one to answer. We field a lot of complaints a lot. About what we do or don't. It's a daily, to be honest, it's daily. So it depends on the day of which side of the coin we're discussing. I'd say, 8 to 3, there's not a lot of folks, 18 to 54 available. Mm-hmm. That's typically working out. So the demand would be low. We've opened 4 classes. And we've seen 1 or 2 per class, maybe, and not consistently so far. So there's not a demand. There could be, and here's my thought on it, is I think it needs to happen organically and more opportunity for 1854. Just during the 8 to 3 time, we start exploring 8 to 3 activities that are 18 to 54 and start peppering them. My biggest worry is, it's just during a time there's not a lot of people available in that time frame. I still believe that we do need to protect the older population. We have a council member who is not for the 55 and up that's currently on council. So it's kind of a rock and hard place for us, trying to appease everybody with a small limited staff. You know, the space is nice, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We'll not complain one bit about it. There are places in the schedule that we could start separating out. We've had some room open up in the past month with a vendor that's moved to a different location. That opened up a little bit of budget. So there's some opportunities, but I do believe this needs to be organic. I think all of us would suffer from just removing the age. I think politically, we would all suffer.
And I don't think, and I was never asking that we remove the age and we strip that. And I think Rainey has done a beautiful job being the sponsor of those 55 and better activities. I just think it needs to be a conversation of how can we incorporate more people in our community using the facility.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to say is because I was just thinking, I'm about to go like part-time, so I'll only be working 3 days a week and I will have 2 days where I will be at home. However, I will have kids, so I was curious, 2 questions were, if it's 18 and up, does that mean it? Like an adult like me that's between the 18 and 55 could come with my kids during a time whenever there's something, whatever that may be, I don't know. Let's say on the days that I'm off, if my kids are with me, which they will be, on the 2 days that I'm off. And then could we just, you said organically, but could it be like something that you start like on 1 or 2 days of the week and maybe the other 3 days of the week still are, you know, the 55 plus, and we just see kind of like a trial, like see how it goes type situation on those 2 days or whatever.
That would be my vision for it, to start with certain activities, certain days, and see what happens.
Okay.
And if, like anything, if you got to grow it, it doesn't automatically start off.
Well, I would think that your group is in the position, I mean, you know how many people show up at what time on what days for what activities. The recommendation should come from you to council with, you know, here are the opportunities, and I like organically is the word for it, to where does it make sense?
Well, let me say this. First, I appreciate this conversation being on an agenda, having it with you guys, because this is the way it should be, because I've had this conversation, and you get put in a rock and hard place, because you get one-on-one with some people. The second side of it is, council's already told me that they would like me to open that up as a group. There was a presentation, and it's either 2 or 3 months ago, I can't recall the, where I presented a semiannual presentation. During that, they did ask for more 1854 classes. So that's already been done. So I wasn't trying to suggest that you were saying take all the ages off. That has been suggested to me. Mm-hmm. And so, not necessarily by you, but that's one of many suggestions that have been given. So with that being said, we're working on that. There are some times in there, and I've always said, if there's a class that's not performing well that people don't go to, I'm not going to keep doing it. Let's find something else to do there. So there's some opportunities there to do.
And again, this is just a recommendation to council to staff to figure out what does Jimmy, right? We pay Jimmy the big bucks. The really big bucks, I'm just kidding. But to kind of work it out, and maybe it is Mahjong, 3 days a week, just seniors, 2 days a week. Let's see what would it look like to do 18 to 18 and up. And maybe the people that don't want to play with younger people, okay, they don't come those 2 days. And then 2 days it is more intergenerational. I just want our community to be a place where we support and encourage and understand that we're better together. And I know that some things are age segregated and people don't want to do chair yoga with each other. Mm-hmm. But I really do think that we benefit from conversations, from learning from one another, from playing a game. And I'm going to tell you, like, he is mad at chess and will beat me every time. That's my husband over there. And he's older than me. So, I mean, it's not necessarily... We were playing Scrabble recently on a cruise ship, and older people were beating us. And so I don't think that it's just necessarily you're younger, you're going to win. And I do think that from my profession, I just see collaboration. A plus A, it isn't A or B. I really think it's A, B together is really to the benefit.
A couple of history points. The Family Center, prior to 2024, 90% of its programming was children only. There was very limited adult programming, and that was a senior program. So there's never before been any programming through the Family Center for anything other than children, and a small part of seniors, and I believe that dissolved in 2017. I don't have any record of it after that. That being said, it's always been my vision as a Family Center to have everybody included, and so we are doing activities that are geared towards that 18 to 54, and you'll see more activities for that. It's all coming. We've got some cool stuff. Discover Woodway, the tourism and the events, they put a lot. That's been their bread and butter. So I would be stepping into their realm a little bit. They do have Mahjong open play that doesn't cost. They do have free yoga that doesn't cost. There are some things that they do provide that I would then be stepping on their toes as well. So trying to navigate that. It's coming. It's just not super fast.
So Jimmy, to clarify, this item 9 is about a recommendation from us regarding programming for adults 18 to 54, but it sounds like you are already working on developing.
I'm for the recommendation.
You're for the recommendation, but I thought I heard that your team is already kind of developing some ideas. Is that correct?
It's on our the semi-annual presentation included the Family Center goals, and the first thing on that list is increasing the adult programming catalog of 18 to 54.
And so that's what we're...
So is this a superfluous agenda item from your perspective?
So us making a recommendation would support the work that you are already doing.
Okay. Solidify it just because there's been so much politicalness about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like... a landmine either way we go, we're going. So the more y'all have the conversation and come up with an agreement, it helps me, makes it easier.
So cool. I think just like organically, something small, like a couple, just in the, like not rip the whole Band-Aid off, like all together. I think peppering in, like you had mentioned, a couple just to see kind of how they do and like trial by error, see, I mean, if anybody does actually.
And could we just... Could we do a couple that it's not 18 to 54, but just do 18 and up? I think that was my, I just hate this idea of like segregating ages. And maybe somebody older, like my neighbor, wants to come with me.
I hear both ways. I hear both sides of that point. And I will tell you, there's evidence to support both. it's really it's a good conversation. There's lots of benefits. So not against it by any means, just.
I'd like to propose a motion, and this group can speak on. I move that this group recommend to the council that more programming be explored during the day for adults 18 to 54 without compromising the time set aside for adults 55 and over.
I think I second that.
Can I get a second? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right.
Okay.
Motion has been seconded. Is there any additional discussion on the motion?
Would there have to be some give and take, though? Because right now it's full schedule, so I think there would have to be a little give and take, to my understanding.
Almost every recommendation and idea you guys have voiced in the last few meetings causes that. There's going to have to pay Rob Peter, pay Paul. Time, there's only so much time, so there's so much budget and staff, so yes. But I think, again, I stress that organically, you know, let some of my partners.
I'll say the nature of my motion. The motion was that we explore more programming while not compromising the senior adult hours. If it comes to it that we can't have more programming without compromising their hours, then maybe it just can't be done. But so y'all can vote my motion down or.
My question also, too, though, is, like, they do a lot of this room, the stuff in this room at Woodway Family Center. Do they, like, how much are they using the gym?
From 8 to 3.
Like, they're in there in the
so
gym.
So, okay. From 8 to 1, there's 55 and up pickleball uh-huh. every day, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock or at 1:30, depending on the day, physical activity classes start in the gym because two things, the room is too small to exercise more than a dozen people, mm-hmm. and you don't want to exercise in a small room with air conditioning built for that. The gymnasium is the space to do that. It's more comfortable. So after 1 o'clock, we start doing strength and stretch, chair yoga. We do have a pickleball 101 class. We have, I'm losing my thoughts on what all, but yes, Monday through Thursday, every day there is something happening inside the gymnasium after pickleball. So it's constant. Friday's probably my only exception. So I do have some 1 to 3 time in the gymnasium. I do need downtime at the gymnasium to clean it, by the way. So we have 2 hours on Wednesday that are blocked off. If you look at that floor right now, it with the amount of foot traffic in there, we probably need to add a second day to do that.
Would you ever consider doing like a 6 a.m. like workout type
class? They get to the staff and budget. Okay. I mean, you know, opening up earlier creates mm-hmm. a few extra costs. So.
Okay.
But would I consider it? It's been requested or mentioned on almost every survey. Somebody says that.
Oh, this motion is to explore. I don't think we're not
sure.
Debating specific programming right now. I think we're advising exploration.
And I think I would like to make an amendment to your motion that maybe we add in the word organically, that's our recommendation.
Can you, where would that, so the motion was that we recommend the city council explore additional programming for adults 18 to 54 while not compromising the senior citizen mm-hmm. time. So they explore or organically adding.
Organically programming. Add programming 18 and up without compromising.
Seems like the without compromising gets a little confusing as to.
So we can strike that?
I would strike that off of it and just leave it as simple as let's explore.
Okay.
Then 18 to 54.
Amend my motion.
See what more we can do on the floor.
I move we recommend the council explore organically adding family center programming for adults 18 to 54.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this motion? All right. I'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Yes, have it.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. We'll write that in capital letters.
You don't need to. I'll sit next to you.
Okay. moving on to item number 10, discussion and consider action on budget recommendations for city council. I'll call for a motion to discuss.
I move we discuss item 10, budget recommendations.
It's a long meeting.
Do I have a second?
Welcome first timers. Normally it's not like this.
I second it.
And as a new chair, I will promise to not do this very often, but because I put this together and I think I know the amendments I would like to strike, based on some of the conversations we've had, I might make a few motions, if that's all right with everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I make a motion to strike repaving Arboretum walking path, as that is not within our purview. Do I have a motion to accept that amendment? It'll be on the back of your current one.
I move we accept your amendment, removing the repaving of the walking path.
Do I have a second?
I second. Sorry, it's the very last one.
Wait, hold on. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, it's the very last one or the second to last?
Did you mean the trails or did you mean the Arboretum walking path?
I'm at the Arboretum walking path. I will get to that one as well.
So what did you say, or what was your?
So there is a, under maintenance, there is a item for $29,000 that is called repaving Arboretum walking path. Given the discussion that we are not, our purview does not include the Arboretum, my motion is to strike that, as that is not our recommendation to give.
Okay.
We may make it as citizens, but not as council.
But that, could that be something that we ask the council?
They can approve it, right?
Well, since we're not.
But we would probably need to go to our city council.
We would have to go to the council meeting as citizens to request that, since the Arboretum does not fall under our authority.
And I've been there and I've done that a couple of times.
Okay, because I feel like that would be.
Zero.
I mean, maybe it's just money.
It was a different council, two different councils.
Keep going, sorry.
That was it, we're in discussion of that particular motion.
Do we need a vote on that motion?
If there's no further discussion, I can call for a vote.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Nays, so the motion carries to strike the repaving of Arboretum. I will say motion to discuss the item budget of link trails from Arboretum to Lakeside on this budget and whether to strike it or still recommend it as it's technically connected.
Based on feedback from.
Is there a motion to discuss?
Motion to discuss.
I second.
All right. Go ahead.
Based on feedback from city staff at this meeting, I move we strike the linking of trails due to the logistical difficulties expressed.
I think I agree with that for now. We could potentially see it in the future, but as of now.
They sound pretty discouraged about it.
They did, but golly.
It is unlikely to be a 2027 item regardless.
Okay,
can somebody explain? So from the Arboretum to the Lakeside Trails, they want a trail that goes, I'm guessing the easement that was is the new sewer line, they're wanting to connect it with that easement too?
I'm not sure. That was my recommendation, just because I've walked those trails and say, wouldn't it be cool if there was a way to get from the end of those trails?
I know the idea of that waterfall back there, people kind of miss that, and the landowner has put that on lockdown. I mean, I think even if people got access back to some of those trails that used to exist, I think they'd be disappointed that the private landowners have restricted more of what they own.
Where exactly is this? I'm like looking on the.
So if you were to go to the back of the Arboretum and follow the creek to Lakeside.
Or Activity Park would probably be the closest connector.
Okay.
Or maybe Lakeside.
Okay, I see that there's like a cul-de-sac of houses there. Can you do that? Can you walk through there to get?
I think that was the question.
So is that what they're asking for?
This was my recommendation, and given them, I would personally like to retract.
I mean,
but that's why I'm doing it. I didn't have a specific. I didn't have a map out. I didn't have.
Oh, okay.
I second your motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
For now.
So we're in discussion now. So if there's any additional discussion, otherwise we can vote to strike.
Yeah.
Okay. So the motion is to strike link trails from Arboretum to Lakeside. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, and I'm an aye as well, and motion carries, that is stricken. And then the last one is, I will recommend a motion to strike the permanent fishing pier at Lakeside, or discuss striking the permanent fishing pier at Lakeside. Is there a motion?
I motion.
Motion to discuss, are we just motioning to discuss?
Motion discuss.
And I'll second the motion to discuss.
All right.
Sounds awesome, I wish we could make that happen. But. Maybe we can get some more research and move forward with it.
I feel like we just need to get the right person.
Again, based on.
Based on, I've been on the Corps for.
Really?
30 years.
They're just.
And I've been in the marina over on the other side of the lake for the last 25 years. And it's hard on every, I mean, really, the whatever infrastructure you think is gonna be there, it floods. I mean, I guess it was last year. The parking lot down at Lakeside was all the way underwater. And I just don't think anything survives. On a lake like Lake Waco that goes 20 feet low and then 30 feet high.
Gosh, it's so sad that.
Yeah.
So based on feedback from city staff, I move that we strike permanent fishing pier from the 2027 budget.
I think we're in discussion with that one.
Plus, in 20 years, I've never seen anybody catch a fish down there, so we're actually doing them a favor, helping them go somewhere else. I've never seen anybody out of the billion fishers.
We're in discussion on the motion. And so if there's any additional discussion to strike. Nope, okay, then, motion to strike permanent fishing pier at Lakeside from the, proposed budgets.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nope.
We need a.
I say aye, the motion carries. And, sorry, one more that might be relevant is per our Woodway Forward, or motion to addend, or I keep, amend the budget to include, a Parks, Trails, and Open Space Master Plan to be determined and implemented so that we can further our understanding of the reality of what we can work with in the coming years for the 2027 budget.
It's not on here?
Oh.
It is not, I am asking for an amendment to add it.
Oh, say that one more time.
That is the motion to have city council invest in a Parks, Trails, and Open Space Master Plan per our Woodway Forward recommendations.
I like that.
Is there a motion to?
Motion. Second.
Thank you. Okay, so looking back, and this was helpful from discussion I had with city staff, when I said, we've looked at this, we've looked at that, they say, well, we had a giant plan and a master plan, so I looked at the master plan, and a master plan just says, next steps on parks is to do a parks master plan. I am unfamiliar if city staff has looked at this before, or if council has looked at this further, but that seems like an appropriate next step before we begin making large-scale recommendations to our park system.
Do we know anything about the bike trails? I know a couple of years ago, the bike clubs who were in charge of the trails that were around there, and there were lots of problems because they were remarking the trails without permission of any city council or city manager gave them a permission, but we don't own that property. That's owned by the Corps of Engineers. So I'm just wondering if they've got those trails like they should be right now. I don't walk those trails anymore, so I don't know, but.
Last time I was on the trails over at Activity Park, they looked okay to me. There was comments at the last meeting from Mayor Corzall that the trails were in poor condition.
At Activity Park?
He said his reference was all of the trails down by the lake were deteriorating due to lack of maintenance.
I think there's a mixture of, so what's called legacy trails, which are trails that have been there for 30, 40 years that don't shed any water. There's been trails that were added. So during COVID, the bike club was asked by parents to expand some of the more kid-friendly trails. Those were built basically up to new international standards as far as what trails should be. A lot of the older trails that were legacy trails were left in place to not
incite too much hatred from the hikers. A lot of times hikers prefer A to B trails, which is I can get from this point to this point the fastest, which is not the most erosive friendly. So a lot of those were left in place. There were new ones added kind of for kids. I was on the bike club kind of for the council for a while. And I think it came to a little bit of a standstill because there was some tension between user groups. I know from the bike side, the feedback's been, basically opened up access to a lot more younger kids. So they've seen a lot more activity from the age of 6 up versus you used to have to be, 14 to really go out there and ride.
So I'm just interested in whether or not they're in good shape enough for the walkers, yeah. Because the walkers are really have more usage of that than the bikers. And so I
think they're good. I've walked them within the last 2 months, and I don't really.
I would say a mixture. If you were to hire a company, you can hire companies. We've had it done at Cameron Park that will come in and give you a grade on, what trails are, in 10 years, you're going to have a problem. A lot of times hikers still like those because they're A to B trails. They're significantly shorter than windy trails, but I think in all parks, you have a mixture right now.
Well, I mean, my question is, do we need to do anything to upgrade those trails for the walkers?
So, but that's part of this master plan.
I think your proposal is that we develop a master plan to determine what maintenance is needed, what resources are needed over the long term.
And could we maybe put this on the next agenda item to discuss?
So this budget goes to council.
And right now, you're just proposing the master plan be developed.
Correct. This is the recommendation.
So we can put on the next one.
And this isn't a master plan for Lakeside or any specifics. Uh-huh. This is a...
Yeah, parks. All parks.
Okay, so we definitely want to add that.
To include trails, green spaces, 10-minute walk to park.
Part of this discussion, maybe I can slip it in. There is normal trimming of the trails that is done by the bike club. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's still, maybe I'll look for
it. As far as I've been on this board, we have not heard from the bike clubs at all. Yeah. And they're supposed to go through us.
Oh, but the last meeting, someone said that they want to help.
So, we'll finish off on this particular thing.
We can't finish. Let's go.
So this is to add a recommendation, and I do not have a dollar figure for what this would cost, but for council to look into implementing a Parks, Trails, and Open Space Master Plan in accordance with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department.
Was that your motion?
That was the motion.
And that's what
we were discussing.
Cool. Okay.
So, yes. Okay.
Second it.
Any additional?
No.
You're not going to put a number on it, though, yet? Or you are? We don't know.
We're past it.
Okay. I say, yeah. It's going to be determined.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
All those opposed? Okay. That was the last addendum I had. Thank you very much for...
I have one slight addendum. Kristen Jack was at summer camp and did not get this into Keisha, and then it was too late. Something that the Waco Parks and Rec Department does, I think this would cost about $500, is they, maybe less to be quite honest, is they host a youth entrepreneur fair where kids make creations and people come and purchase their creations. I saw one once in Round Rock that they did. I know Waco Parks and Rec hosts an event like that as well. And so Kristen had reached out to me, didn't get it on the agenda. It's not here tonight. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Is that a motion to add that item to the...
That is a motion to add that.
For the next agenda. You have to... What is the whole motion?
Yeah.
What do you...
The motion is to add a line item for an event, approximately about $500 for a youth entrepreneur event.
I second that.
I like it.
Young people are smart.
And they,
I'm not disagreeing with the idea. I'm just adding something to the agenda that was not originally on it.
So the agenda is to discuss and amend the budget.
So it was sent to Keisha. Keisha said it was too late to add it to the official agenda, but we can add it during the budget discussions because we're discussing the budget. We can't finalize any details about the event, but we can just put it in the budget to be included for next year.
I like the idea.
That's it.
All right. Motion to vote.
We did.
No, I motioned to vote. I motioned to vote to add this amendment.
How about you second it?
So it's a
motion. It was a discussion.
To discuss. Now we have a motion to vote.
A motion that we amend the budget by $500.
I would second that.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries. Prior to moving on, is there any other additional discussion of the budget? To recap, we have stricken repaving of Arboretum walking path. We have stricken link trails from Arboretum to Lakeside. We have stricken permanent fishing pier at Lakeside. And we have added youth entrepreneurship program for $500 to the parks activities section. I will work with city liaison to get an updated number.
One more item.
If necessary. Yep.
Discussion. The restrooms at Whitehall, I recall that was to be a total replacement of the restroom.
Oh, forgive me. I was going off of my notes.
Yeah, not just a repainting. I think there was another restroom somewhere else that needed to be repainted.
Okay.
But that one was to be like totally rehabilitated or replaced due to age. If we're at a point here where we cannot get the cost research done in time to get it on the 2027 budget, maybe we strike it from this proposal.
I think when I went to one meeting about the Arboretum, it was $250,000 for a new bathroom.
Yes.
If I'm going to answer that question, the exact Coronado style restroom at the Arboretum, approximately $185 to $190, just got those fresh hooks.
So 200.
Well, it's less for the restroom, but there's trades, electrical, plumbing, some other that you don't have hard figures on until later. So it's approximately, that's including some fees that aren't yet scoped out yet.
My only thought on that, and I don't mind tossing on the, on there for city council, it's their decision at the end of the day. Given our discussion of what we recommend Valor, relook at Whitehall, I assume restroom would be part of that discussion.
Yeah.
So this may be...
It's a fair point. So perhaps we strike this for 2027. Shall I make this in the form of a motion?
Sure.
I make a motion that we strike work on Whitehall restrooms due to ongoing discussions about enhancements at Whitehall Park.
A second.
Any additional discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay.
And then
I believe I need a...
I make a motion that we approve the Woodway Parks and Rec Commission 2027 budget request with the amendments that we've already approved.
Second.
Any additional discussion? All right. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Whew. Motion item number 11. Subcommittee reports. Do we need to do updates and do we need to assign?
I think that has to be on the agenda that we reassign them.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will just say general updates, Poach Park.
None.
Every time I see it, it's busy. It's kids.
It's the shaded park, so it's good.
Whitehall Park, I was there literally yesterday with my kid and took her into the restroom. And yes, I agree, they're older, but they were in very good condition for what they are. So, but otherwise, everything looked great.
So those were all assigned to somebody on the last board.
So we need to assign the next
slide. Next time it has to be on the agenda, we have to reassign next time.
Just everyone go visit a park.
Go visit the parks.
Yep. Activity park?
Nothing to report. I was last time I was there, everything appeared in good order. No concerns.
Okay. Lakeside Park.
Still nobody catching any fish.
And Whitby Family Center.
Jimmy's doing an awesome job. Is there anything you would like to add, Jimmy, about Whitby Family Center?
My apologies for not bringing you calendars for August. I'll start there. No, because August is fairly light because everybody's getting ready for school. We don't have a lot of youth activities in the month of August. The Woodway Public Safety Movie Night is approaching. It'll be August 7th. Is that right? Gosh, this school's starting the very next week, my God.
Yeah, the 12th.
Okay. So that's in August. We'll be ramping up with soccer clinic and league. Facility-wise, we did have, during the great flood of 26, we did have some damage. Came in through the air conditioning unit and flooded out the men's room. So we're still working on that. It'll have to have some ductwork replaced and some ceiling tile replaced. So that physically, that's all that's going on over there. There's not a lot of, it's a good building. So we're just
busy probably since it's getting warmer outside and people are wanting to do things inside.
Yeah, Open Gym is, you know, averaging a dozen kids on any given day. Peak is probably pushing 30 right now.
Wow, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah. We during the holidays, depending on the day, you can see as many as 50. We were at one point saying, okay, at what point do we say this is not safe? Because it gets a little chaotic. It's 60 mostly unsupervised kids.
What a time is Open Gym?
3 to 8 most days. It changes depending on rentals and other scheduled activities. So the best way to know that is to follow the Family Center and go to the website and get the updated calendar. 3 to 8, Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 Saturdays. And we don't see a lot of people on Saturdays. Yes. A few, handful, maybe 6.
All right. Moving on to item 12, update from city staff on upcoming events from either staff or the city liaison.
I don't have anything to add.
Or city council meeting.
It's like, this meeting is gone forever.
My stomach's growling. No, I don't have anything to add.
Why did I get drawn?
All right.
I just want to go on the record that Dave Whitby, you owe me.
All right, moving on to 13, requests for future agenda items. So I think we referenced one that we likely need to have for next one, which is to assign.
Do you want to recommend a conversation about the pathway over at the Arboretum?
Are we allowed to talk
about
the Arboretum?
I don't think we can talk about the Arboretum, can we?
I mean, we can recommend it if you want to, but that's just not our purview.
I think I just want to talk more about this plan, this master plan.
Okay.
So, can we talk about that?
And I would like to add, a request would be to add the, what the youth entrepreneur event would look like, date, etc.
I mean, because maybe we can explore other
master plan. I would like to add on, allocation of subcommittee reports to new people so that new people have that.
No, my mom was in a wheelchair and I tried to take her to the market.
And then the only other one I would like is a calendar of us for the next through the end of 2027 so that we can potentially plan these a little more stacked so that we're not having to call special, you know, special board meetings for budget that actually took 2.5 hours to get to.
Well, I think
my fault as well.
Well, I think training was important. That was about an hour.
That was very helpful. Any other recommendations for next meeting?
Do we need to finalize the details of the blue bonnet stomping, or is that our deal, or?
Oh, gosh.
It's a good question. You're full of good questions.
We set a date.
We can,
set
a date for
it. So we'll need to finalize the details, and I don't know.
No, I think the city staff finalizes
the next
all
meeting?
The details.
Is the next
we gave
meeting
them
the
date.
Update. Maybe an update on the blue bonnet stomping event.
Yes. Like, we need some sort of notification on,
so
this is actually happening, so.
we finalize, add an agenda item to finalize details on the blue line and stop it. I think our next meeting is in August, which should provide adequate time to finalize for October. Or do we not meet again?
I don't believe we meet again until September.
Okay.
Do you know if it's, do you know the date that we're meeting?
I do not.
Should be early September.
I think it's early September. We should have about a month.
It's usually the third Thursday of the month.
Okay, maybe it's not early.
I think it's August. It's August because I missed the very first meeting because my daughter had her very first high school football game and she's in the dual team and it was an away on a Thursday. So it's August.
I think you're right.
And yep, we'll do finalization of that. Any other additional future items?
No, but we have up until 10 days prior to email.
And you're going to handwrite your, so that nobody on the record steals your email address and spams you.
But she's going to send it out, right?
Oh, yeah, she's going to send it out. She's going to send it out.
All right, moving on to 13, I will open for adjournment.
I would make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Hey, great job.